You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine of this room, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind. My body is stupid, stereo putrid, spilling out music in the raw sewage, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Everybody cough up some green for the little lady. Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in tipping?
You know what these chicks make? They make shit. Don't give me that. She don't make enough money, she can quit.
Let me just get this straight. You don't ever tip, huh?
I don't tip because society says I have to. All right, I mean, I'll tip if somebody really deserves a tip. If they really put forth the effort, I'll give them something extra. But, I mean, it's tipping automatically. It's for the birds. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're just doing their job.
Hey, this girl was nice.
She was okay. I mean, she wasn't anything special.
What's special? Take you in the back and suck your dick?
I'd go over 12% for that.
Look, I ordered coffee, right? Now, we've been here a long fucking time. She's only filled my cup 3 times. I mean, when I order coffee, I want it filled 6 times.
6 times? Well, you know, what if she's too fucking busy?
Words too fucking busy shouldn't be in a waitress's vocabulary.
Excuse me, Mr. Pink, but the last fucking thing you need is another cup of coffee.
Jesus Christ, I mean, these ladies aren't starving to death. They make minimum wage. You know, I used to work minimum wage, and when I did, I wasn't lucky enough to have a job that society deemed tip-worthy.
You don't care? They'd count on your tips to live?
You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin playing just for the waitresses.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about. These people bust their ass. This is a hard job.
So is working at McDonald's, but you don't feel the need to tip them, do you? Well, why not? They're serving you food. But no, society says, don't tip these guys over here, but tip these guys over here. That's bullshit.
Waitressing is the number one occupation for female non-college graduates in this country. It's the one job basically any woman can get and make a living on. The reason is because of their tips.
Call that.
Jesus Christ.
We'll be right back. gone.
Jill? Is that you, Jill? What happened?
Perry, help me, please. The door won't open. Quick!
Stay away from the door, Jill. I'm going to kick this door down.
Perry! This way!
Oh, Perry!
That was too close. You were almost a Jill sandwich.
You're right. Barry, thanks for saving my life. But, Barry, didn't you say you're going back to the dining room to do some research? Why on earth are you here?
I just had something I wanted to check. Now, let's get back to searching for the lost captain and Chris, shall we?
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry Burton.
Yeah! Woo! Oh! Hey, everybody! Woo, woo, woo!
It's Friday. That means it's time for Nowhere Mulberry.
Ah, yes! Hey, everybody! Welcome to the show, Film, Television, Pop Culture. I am the J-Strom. To my left is Steven, the pop culture zealot. How's it going, Steven?
Hey, I'm good.
Awesome. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Hey.
I thought I'd include some of the worst voice acting ever in a video game in the intro.
You were almost the Jill sandwich.
I love that. That's the original Resident Evil.
One of the Didn't they remade it for the GameCube and like redid the voice acting and everything, but that original on the PS1,
you're right.
That voice acting.
Yeah, it's really bad. They shouldn't have changed it in the remake. Because the first thing they do is they walk into a dining room in a mansion, and he goes, "A dining room." I was like, hey, good first line. I'm sold. I'm going to play this game.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Yeah. I guess after I hear something like that, I'm like, I could go into voice acting if I wanted to, couldn't I?
Anybody could. I mean, at least bad games.
But I love that Barry Burton guy. There's something awesome about that guy.
Oh, Barry!
You notice when she's like, where have you been? He's like, I've just been... Oh, anyway, let's go over here. It's like, wow, you have a really good job there, buddy. But everybody, welcome to the show. How's it going, Bill? Everything going good?
Yeah, everything's good.
I saw you didn't get to see the Piranha 3D.
No.
Bummer.
But I did see Salt.
You saw Salt?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I won't say how I saw it. let me just say that there's a DVD copy somewhere that is downloadable.
I see. One of your studio contacts got that.
Yes,
for you.
Exactly. He directed me to a website.
Awesome. It's always cool to have those studio contacts, isn't it?
It really is. I just wish we could like maybe get some advertising in a movie.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet. Yeah,
there was a ton of it in the Salt that I was cracking up at, like massive Pepsi billboards and stuff.
Yeah, I love that. When they do stuff like that. I guess the worst was like Transformers, the Xbox, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, hey, let's transform products. And what was there, like a Nokia phone or something at one point?
Yes, there was.
Yep. So
that was the thing that that they had to put under like a glass dome or something.
Yeah. Awesome.
And there was the, I think right next to the Xbox was the Mountain Dew machine. Or 7-Up, one of those two.
Awesome. Now, I did. You know what's funny is, I guess an hour ago, we had no voicemail, and I had to put the call out on Twitter like, hey, anybody got a voicemail? And Rick literally sent his voicemail like as the right before the intro started playing, like music was playing on the feed, and I got that. So
I think Rick actually sets an alarm clock to when the show is. It's probably like 3 in the afternoon for him, and he's like, oh, voicemail.
You know, we also got a Ross voicemail. Remember last week he was talking about my sister was silky and dirty or whatever? Mm-hmm. He sent a voicemail explaining his voicemail and apologizing. I think we should check that out.
Okay.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. It's Ross calling from the Bay Area in California, hot off my voicemail
books.
Last week where I came off pretty dang creepy. Clarification, That wasn't my intention. I was only trying to reference the Jonathan Anton drop where he said that Silky Dirt is wonderful if you want to be silky and dirty at the same time. And since your sister is listening to Old School, I just figured the two would connect. But, yeah, I can see how that came off pretty creepy. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great show. I can't wait to see Scott Pilgrim. I didn't even really know about it until last week, which is kind of weird because I'm a big Edgar Wright fan. But, yeah, can't wait to see it. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great show.
Bottom line is, you want to be dirty, or you want to be silky, or you want to be silky and dirty at the same time?
You know what, Ross? I totally got your joke. You just kind of have to play it up, right?
Yep. We got to give you a hard time.
Hey, it's show business.
When someone gives you material, you got to run with it.
Yeah, you got to run with it, buddy. But thanks a lot, Ross. I appreciate that explanation. And my sister, her tears have dried by now. Now we also have a voicemail from Austin. Hey, Austin. Hey, it's a trendy place to go, right? I don't think he's from Austin, no. But his name is whatever. Harry Knowles lives there. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's why I'll never visit. It may be a great city, but I have to stay out of that general vicinity.
You might some of the awesomeness. Might
What's that video store that's there? That
it doesn't exist.
That his sister runs.
Yeah, I don't think it exists anymore. Yeah.
I don't think it exists anymore either.
It carried a bunch of films and 16mm film, you know.
I went there before it closed.
I have a DVD player.
Yeah,
a
couple years ago.
I know my friend Andy from Michigan, who's now in Oklahoma, actually goes to Comic-Con every year, and he said he ran into Harry Knowles.
Nice.
Yeah, and he felt bad because he's in a wheelchair. And I think he's been in a wheelchair for a while. Like, he's like a hip issue or a knee issue or something.
Yeah.
You're right.
Wow, thanks, Jill.
She sounds so happy about it too. Wow,
I know. It's like that would have been delicious. I would have had some too.
Oh, Barry.
Barry,
what's going on in that situation?
I don't know.
Oh, Barry.
Jesus.
All right, we got another voicemail. Oh, wait, we haven't played it yet. Austin, let's check it out.
Hey guys, this is Austin from Muncie, Indiana. I saw the desperate plea for voicemails on Twitter, so I thought I'd leave you guys one.
I really want to thank you guys for committing me to start
Spartacus Blood and Sand after your enthusiasm for every single week. We've been catching up on it on Netflix before it expired last night. My roommate and I now have 2 episodes left, and it is amazing. It is remarkable how every week they get more and more into depravity. It's just insane. But still awesome. Really good characters and writing, especially the way they use profanity with the mythology of the time. A lot of fun. I'm sure you'll talk about this in the entertainment section, but I did see 2 of the films that came out this weekend. The Switch is exactly as familiar as it looks like, but it does actually have some good parts to it, especially a really, really good Jason Bateman performance. And Piranha 3D. Ooh, that's another one. You know exactly what you're getting at when you go into that one. A lot of fun moments in it, but still not the most memorable of movies, aside from a few just absolutely crazy moments.
Some choice kills.
It needs to take a page of Spartacus' book to kind of know how to have craziness for the entire duration. But have a great show, everyone. Catch you next time.
Thanks a lot, Austin. I always appreciate when somebody sends a voicemail, someone we don't hear from often. And, you know, I remember, like, early in the week, you said you wanted to see Piranha, and I had no idea who was directing. I was just like, why? You know? It just looks like a cheesy horror movie, but from what I heard about it,
Alejandro Aja.
Yeah, I love that dude's name.
Yeah.
But
Didn't I send you the first film he did, that High Tension? Or,
yeah, what is it?
It's like 3 tension. Different names. It's High Tension, Hot Tension, yeah. And then I think in the UK it's called Switchblade Sisters or something.
Yeah. Which title makes the least sense? I think all 3 of them.
Like, no, all 3 of them have nothing to do with one another.
And I like reading that it's a ripoff of Dean Koontz's novel Intensity.
And oh yeah,
I've actually
the guy that hides inside the house.
You know, the it's a chick who follows a serial killer. She hides in his RV the whole time.
Yes,
So there are some similarities there, but
a little, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not saying anything like that. Piranha,
it's
though,
a big
that's
cheater of a movie, though.
But I gotta, yeah, totally. It doesn't make any sense. But also, I was gonna say that this Piranha 3D, total rip off of Piranha. Come on. Come on, this guy, it's obvious he's just a blatant thief, isn't it?
Yes. I love, just joking about it, I love how into it Joe Dante is. Like, you know, when he first made Piranha, he had, you know, he was very young, and then to grab onto it and kind of turn it into something new and kind of crazy and a little up the level of the camp, he's been really excited about it on Twitter, actually. It's cool.
Oh, cool. I need to follow Joe on Twitter.
Yeah, he's the other night Eli Roth even promoted him. Like, everybody that's in that's on Twitter that's in the movie, he promoted, like, yeah. Adam Scott and
well, I hear that doesn't Eli Roth have a death scene in the movie?
He does. He's one of those annoying
counselors.
MCs. No, counselor. What are you thinking about?
Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Well, it's like if it's I don't remember.
It takes place in spring break, Stephen.
Okay.
He's one of those MCs that always, like, pour the water on the women's, like, white T-shirts in the T-shirt contests. So he's kind of a vile character that...
Dude, you just sold a ticket for me.
Well, I'm so excited to see it. I really wanted to see it bad today. I'll probably end up waiting till Monday morning because I don't want to deal with the crowd.
Because I remember back... It was like the second time I saw Avatar. They had a trailer to that in front of it, and it was in 3D. And I was like, what the hell?
I don't think they advertised it right. I think, you know, they're trying so hard to play up the horror angle and not playing the this is really tongue-in-cheek and ridiculous angle.
Yeah, which is my favorite type of horror movie, really.
Yeah.
I love just something that's hilarious and stuff like that.
Well, but, that's why I loved...
But, like, really gory.
Drag Me to Hell.
Like, so disgusting, you laugh your ass off kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, well, we've got a Rick voicemail to play. We'll play that real quick, and then we'll get into a couple of movies, okay? Not that I'm not, hey, Rick, I'm not just kind of like, hey, let's play Rick real quick, get it out of the way. No, I'm just saying that I'm teasing for later. Right, guys?
Right.
Yes. This is our mystery box episode of Nowhere in Mulberry. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about up ahead, Stephen. It's a secret. You're just going to have to wait.
I
got to
wait like everyone else?
Yeah. Pretty spooky. When will I play this clip? I don't know.
Anytime
now. Have to wait.
Could be at the end of the show.
It's a Rick voicemail. Could be at the end of the show. Or it could be right now.
Hello, Nowhere in Mulberry.
Huh?
It's wow.
I might sound sad, but I'm really not. I'm quite happy at the moment. We're just going to have some breakfast. Just thought I'd let you know. Breakfast is yummy.
It is.
Might have some chicken and veggies for breakfast. Leftovers, you know how it goes.
Sure.
Is he eating now?
This was Rick from Australia.
What?
Bye.
Everybody's just sleeping.
Next week's voicemail will be better, I promise.
All right, next week we're going to get a really good voicemail. I didn't have time to levelate it either, so.
What time did he call? What time did he leave that? Like, right at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, top of the hour, literally.
All right, so he would have left that at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So he was calling from the future.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Rick, as always. Now let's check out Entertainment! All right, Bill. Steven and I, we got to see Scott Pilgrim and The Expendables.
Oh, really? I didn't know you went to see The Expendables.
Yeah, we saw it the same night, like later that night. And it's funny, like Heather, my wife, she loves to see like double features. There's been many times, like I'm this older guy. And she's like, we're going to go see two movies today. And I'm like, what? And, you know, I love going to the movies, but I'm like kind of fuddy-duddy also, where I'm like, I'm going to be so tired later, you know? Such a wimp.
I grew up on the double feature, especially, you know, out in Western Pennsylvania, when I was growing up, it was all drive-ins. So when you went to see a movie, you went on a Friday and you went to a drive-in, and it was always a double feature.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd see one movie and you'd sit out on your in the grass or, in the car.
In Texas, that would suck. Going to see a movie because it's still like 100 degrees at night. So
we used to do it.
That would blow. But we went to see Scott Pilgrim. Loved it.
I want to see it again. There was so much going on.
Yeah, definitely want to see it again. Steven, you were a little late. You missed like the first 2 minutes too, which sucked. But
did he miss the credits?
Yeah, he missed the credits.
Oh, that sucks.
Steven, you got to, like, right when the credits ended, that's like you literally sat down right when they were like, boom. And I was like, you only missed like 2 minutes. It's okay. You didn't miss much. Shh. Oh, sorry. But you see my friend Steven, he just, shh. Oh, okay, let's stop talking. Sorry. So
it's PCZ Steven. Oh.
So anyway, I love the movie. It was awesome. I saw that it didn't make any money, but that's a shame. But, you know, it's a movie that I will own on Blu-ray, Bill, and watch it a gazillion times. Am I right? Don't you feel that way too? You saw it a second time.
Yeah, I did. I saw it again this week.
It's just, I realized that I was smiling throughout the entire movie as I was watching it. That's how much fun
it is. Yeah, it's ear to ear. Just it was because I had seen the Expendables first. I think I should have saw it second because when I left the Expendables, I was kind of in like a shitty mood.
Well, so see, it was the opposite.
Because I was really disappointed by it. I saw so many flaws with it and so much it could have been better.
Right.
So I go into Scott Pilgrim and I'm kind of like in this pissy mood. And the moment the credits started, I was like, okay, all right, I can let go now. This is going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it was the opposite. When Scott Pilgrim's over, we're all happy and everything. We went to eat at RJ Gator's, and I had some fried catfish. Then, like, as soon as that we were done eating, we had to run back to the theater. We saw these at the rave and then saw the Expendables in a great mood, just joking around the whole time. And they showed all
sorts. You're bored out of your freaking mind.
What, in the Expendables?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say I had a lot of fun watching it. I thought that, what you were saying about like their witty repartee, a lot of those scenes didn't really work very well. But the one scene that did work was Jet Li kind of complaining how he needs money and how he does more work because he's short. I thought that part was good. And I thought the action was a lot of fun. And especially, like, you know, the whole end thing. Steve and I were just cracking up at that stuff.
The shotgun.
Well, not only that.
I love that shot with the shotgun. That was fantastic.
The kick to the guy's head and it snaps his neck backwards.
Yeah.
We were like, oh! Like, so, that, you know, it was a lot of fun. I definitely wouldn't give it a bad review just because it's so much fun. The stuff with the general. I like when they say general or whatever. But you know my favorite part in the movie, though? It wasn't the end. It was the dive bombing in the airplane. You know, it was like...
That was so beautifully set up.
Let's go back. And he's like... I thought that was awesome.
That was a really cool scene, yeah.
So, yeah, the acting... I'm not going to say the acting was bad, but I'm going to say the scenes where they're all sitting around joking and stuff was kind of...
Forced.
Yeah, forced and awkward.
You didn't like Randy Couture's spiel about his cauliflower ear?
That, you know what, it was just like they were all kind of just reacting because they were supposed to, because it's in the script or whatever. But I guess I was just kind of laughing because I was like, poor Randy Couture is trying to act right here.
Yeah, I know. It was
but
really...
But you know what? I loved his fight later with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sure.
First, I loved Stallone's fight with him at first, and he was like, I got my ass kicked or whatever. Then later they fight, and the hilarious, he's engulfed in flames. Whatever. I thought that was hilarious. And Eric Roberts, just like being Eric Roberts' bad guy that he is now and everything, I thought was
funny.
He
didn't get nearly enough screen time.
There is the scene where with the daughter. And he's like, my father once said, a real man doesn't hit a woman, but he doesn't have any problem doing that. You know, his henchman, Steve Austin, he's like, smack, or whatever. And you know what? I love the all the gunfights and stuff with Stallone with the two pistols shooting fast. And I loved Jason Statham with the knives, the throwing knives. I thought that was awesome. I was like quickly cut guys' throats and throw the blades. And I guess Mickey Rourke, he was like the old knife guy, knife specialist, and now he's retired.
He was also the old wise man.
You know
the
what?
Old sage.
That I didn't mind that scene either, where he's painting on the guitar and he's talking about how his humanity, that moment he could have saved his soul, but it
I thought he did a great job. I just didn't think it belonged really there at all.
He was like the Stallone's character, like, this is my chance to redeem 20 my
years
soul.
Or 10
you know?
Years earlier,
yeah,
or whatever.
This is his chance. And Steven, I can't believe Steven. I was like, has Stallone gotten a little lift or something? There's something wrong with his face. Oh, and I got to tell you this. Okay, when you're going to bring back Arnold and have a scene with Bruce Willis too, have a better written scene than that. My God.
They're what's talking, the president?
There was like, he was talking about like, what do you guys want to suck each other's dicks or whatever? And it's just like, yes, not as funny as it should be. Or it's just kind of.
That's written by a 12-year-old.
Well, I almost feel like when Arnold walked in, it's like the whole audience is like, Arnold buzz. Arnold. And no one's even listening to the scene or what they're saying anyway.
And the only part they heard was, he wants to be president.
I get it. Oh, wait, he's from Austria. He can't run.
And it was just like, we were just kind of like, okay.
So I'm going to say this. While I enjoy The Expendables, I've been thinking about Scott Pilgrim all week, though. You know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like you said, it's a rental. You know, it's a good time. I, you know, Steven and I cracking up or be leaning over to Heather. We were having a good time. And we even saw it with one of our listeners, the Flying Squirrel, in our forum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. It was just, you know, we were just having a good time. But I definitely had this. You know what's cool about Scott Pilgrim? Because, you know, there's definitely a love of, like, 8-bit games in there, gaming and stuff, Bill. Or just video games in general and music and all that. Is on my phone, I've been playing the NES emulator, like playing old Mario games and stuff, and Double Dragon and stuff. It's great to hear that 8-bit music like you were talking about at the beginning. And there's even like this new this new iPhone app, this game called The Incident, where it's done in the 8-bit fashion where with the old 8-bit music. And I was like playing that. It's like, this came out at the perfect time, this game. Just mixed in with Scott Pilgrim, and I can't wait to see it again. I think everybody should see it. What do you think, Steven?
I don't know if everybody should see it, but
I think absolutely everyone should see it.
Everybody our
age
group
are pigeonholing it.
Yeah.
I think it has a very, very wide appeal. This is a movie that crosses gender, age,
it's kind of
everything.
Thing.
By the end of the movie, you are cheering for this character, and you want him
I think
to
that
win.
My dad, like, say, if my dad saw it, he might at first be a little put off, but if he would give it a chance,
you get caught up in it.
I knew my dad would not. My dad would not.
He'd appreciate the level of filmmaking, I think, which is awesome. Just everything is so inventive and clever in the film. Okay, well, that's enough about Scott Pilgrim for now. We'll talk more about it when it comes out on Blu-ray, right, Bill?
Absolutely.
What do you guys say we check out What's on our TiVos? Did you like that, Steven?
Yes.
Why on earth are you here?
We're here to talk about What's on our TiVo. I mean, come on.
That was too close.
I don't even know what they're talking about right now.
You're right.
Okay, let's talk about Big Brother. Now, Bill, we all know that the Big Brother saboteur is completely lame, the premise of it. And
you mean America's Player?
Yeah, they just missed the music. I was really upset about that. But, you know, Enzo, or Meow Meow, as he calls himself.
Oh, I hate that.
He gets a note in his bed that says, I know your secret. And I thought, you know, regardless of what's going on right now, who's HOH or whatever, whoever got evicted, that's not as entertaining as him getting the note, taking it to everybody, and them putting their collective heads together and figuring out who the saboteur is. I thought it was pretty amusing just how they're like, yeah, it's pretty hilarious. Let's check it out. Oh, my God.
Who's this? Okay. I know your secret.
I go to my bedroom at night. I look under my pillow and I find the note. I know your secret. S. This could start a whole bunch of problems. People could think I'm in a secret alliance, which I am. Now I got the saboteur trying to come at the meow meow.
I found it over here.
I made you be.
And there was nothing there.
What? No, I made your bed.
As Kathy, I made your bed. I didn't see it.
Yo, the saboteur struck.
I was about to get into the bed, and then it's right there.
Into the house.
Wow. Kathy was in bed sleeping when I went in there. She made the bed. She wants to make my bed all of a sudden today. She doesn't make my bed.
She made mine yesterday, but she could have been making them to make it look on.
To make it look like now she's starting to make beds.
Yeah, she's making beds.
It's like the end of a Scooby-Doo episode where they find that the governor was the whatever, you know, the ghost or whatever. In this case, the sheriff is the saboteur. The bed wasn't made. She made it. She put the letter under the pillow, and the note ends with an S, which means the sheriff. So give me a Scooby snack.
She's a dodo.
So she's definitely thrown every awesome competition.
To be a deputy, you have to pass physicals like every 2 or 3 years.
Don't you have to carry like a dummy out of a building or something?
Yeah.
Not be a dummy, carry a dummy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think she's a sheriff.
So everyone's pointing the fingers at Kathy, and I am 100% cool with that, because when I use the Diamond Power of Veto, if I decide that Kathy is my replacement nominee, then I'm the hero of the house. I just got out the potential saboteur.
And think of all the double playing she's been doing with Brendan and the rest of us, and the pretzel thing that she knew about and didn't tell me till after the fact.
How do we know that she... Dude, how do you know that she... Doing, bro?
Oh, dude, my game up in a major way.
So you got sabba-bitched, Dale, by her, yeah?
Did.
Sabba-bitched.
I'm thrilled that nobody is even taking into consideration that sweet little me is the person who has been wreaking havoc on this house.
She
my
sounds
final
adorable.
Sabotage is a success. I am $20,000 richer. Thank you, America, for believing in the evil that I've always known is inside of me.
That's it, bro.
It's her.
It really is her. But it's not her at all. It's Reagan, the resident gay. Resident evil gay.
Wow. Is that one of you have, like, gay zombies?
Oh, hello.
Brave. What, you know what was funny is they did this thing where Brendan... He got to open Pandora's box, and he's like, I don't know if I should open it. Something bad gets released.
He really is a moron.
And they showed on the plasma screen in the room, they showed Rachel in a bikini, like, blowing him a kiss. And he's like, oh, I get to go to paradise with her? I'm going in. And he goes in. He disappears for 24 hours to go to this mansion. And it was so dumb how they had, like, you know, go around, walking around the mansion, calling Rachel. So he's like, Rachel, Rachel. And he goes, Rachel. And it's like echo. And they show the whole, like, I don't know, gulf.
like he discovered her dead body.
Yeah, he's so stupid. He would keep calling her.
Yeah, yeah.
So what makes it worse is the doorbell rings at the Big Brother house. And she goes, I'm back, bitches. And they're like, oh. I saw one of them had a razor blade. They're about to cut their wrist. And then you got the feeling that they were like, okay, Rachel, we'll really just like taunt everybody and be as obnoxious as possible. Because I can't believe she would naturally walk in like that, you know? Just
no,
like,
of course not.
I'm bad, bitches.
Unless she's a complete ass.
Yeah,
which
she's
is possible.
She's giving Reagan such a hard time. Ugh.
I'm thrilled.
And then he kind of let her have it, and most of the stuff he said was true. He got, you know, he got pretty rude and mean there.
Like, well, so did she. She said something like, what the hell was it? You're evil and gay or something.
She goes, you're not even very good at being gay. And he was like, I don't even know what that means. And she was like, I have gay friends, and they're nicer than you. It's like, what?
Oh, so you have to – you can't be a prissy little queen.
Sweet little like me.
And he had a really – he goes, the reason you're not in the house anymore is because you're a bad person. Hey, time out, everybody. You do know everybody in the house will eventually be out except one person that's the winner. So are they all bad people too? So, yeah, a little hole in your logic there.
Everybody else in the back eventually.
Yeah.
The meow meow.
Yeah, I think meow meow is going to win.
I know your secret.
Do you think his
secret you have bad hair plugs.
Your secret is... Yeah, I think his secret that he knows about Reagan is, you're gay. I won't tell him. He's like, everybody knows. What? Oh.
I thought... You can confide in me, I know. I have gay friends. Me. They're just like you.
We call it on the down low in Jersey.
All my gay friends have enormous heads like you.
You're a bobblehead. A walking bobblehead.
He does. He looks like a bobblehead.
Bobblehead gay. That's, awesome.
The meow meow.
If you punched him, he would bounce back and hit you with his head.
I'm thrilled.
He's like Bonk in Bonk's Adventure on the TurboGrafx.
Air Zonk.
He could like just hit you in the head. It would give you a concussion.
He can break rocks with it.
Now, guys, the cake boss this week was extremely exciting. He made a train cake. Steven made a train cake. It was a huge cake. I'm going to just call foul on this. Did you notice, Bill, that the cake was all cereal treats pretty much?
Yeah, all the buildings were cereal treats.
It was cereal treats and fondant. I was like, what part do you eat on this cake?
What part is cake?
Was if it those buildings were cake, I don't think they would have fell apart like they did in the heat.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, yeah, there's him. He goes, everybody take five. And they come back, and there's like, oh, no. And it's like all melted and falling apart.
Well, it's because it's butter and marshmallow. What's going to happen when it's warm?
Now, you guys remember that Mario, he's got heart problems and stuff. So they decided to make him start eating salad for lunch.
It's a meme, Mario.
And also, have you noticed that at Carlo's Bakery, I mean, he keeps hinting about finding a larger space, but there's like 20 employees back there at all times. Yeah. But they're having a little trouble situating themselves because they're so cramped, Steven. Let's go ahead and check this out.
Hey, guys, come on. I got you lunch. It's salad. Come on, Mauro. I got you a salad.
Salad.
Nice, healthy salad. Lettuce, tomatoes, grilled chicken.
Ever since Morris Health
found the butter
on top, he needs to cut down on stress. He's got to learn to eat right and exercise.
Now, how is it?
It's not bad.
It looks like rabbit food.
It's not that good, but it's not that
bad. Come on, man. You gotta eat good.
That's right. Yeah. Start loving it soon.
Nice juice steak. Be nice, too.
You could bowl the 14 a salad or two.
What the hell did he just say?
What's the matter? You don't have any mirrors in your house?
You can all afford a little salad. I mean, I could lose a couple.
I thought that
Frankie,
was
Danny
good.
Could, too. You guys are very unsupportive of my brother-in-law.
Because he's on a diet, I got to eat like him? I got to eat rabbit food?
That'll be like torture.
Would it be fair support if he's eating the salad and I'm sucking down chicken wings? Come on, Danny. You got that building ready? That's an important building. It's going to finish the cake. This train cake, it's so big, everybody's working on it. So, I mean, there's limited space. We're in tight quarters to begin with.
Whoa, watch that.
You add a cake that's like 20 foot long, and there's no way to work.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Danny.
What's
I'm
going
just
on
trying to finish this cake.
What?
I'm trying to finish this. I'm just sorry.
So move over.
I am moved over.
Everybody's working so close. Danny and Frankie bump each other's butts. You got the whole back when you come here to work.
Reagan might
do that. Go on the other side.
You got that whole side of the bench.
Wait, what?
I'm over here. Long show. Just go on that side.
I got to go on that side. I'm going to throw Michelle out so you can work on our whole 8-foot marble
There's
bench.
There's nobody can pass you here.
So that's why you got to go over there.
Look at your side and look at my side.
What are you trying to say?
That we're both skinny and people got to pass by.
You know, you're ridiculous.
I hear some beatboxing in the background.
Hey.
Oh, he knocked this cake over.
How did I make you drop the cake? You do a bumping butts over there. No, move around the bench. You're fine with him. He's fine with you. I hear you like two children. I'm trying to figure out the cake.
All right, I'll go on this side.
Make another building now.
Okay.
Sorry, whatever. It's all just stage fighting. That's what Cake Boss is every week. I did like he's like, you guys could stand to lose some weight. He goes, what, you don't got a mirror in your house? I just thought that was funny. And you can see Buddy's kind of like disarmed by that. Like, oh, man, they got me there. I am out of shape. Just a really kind of a real moment there in that scene. You just
Carlo's Bakery is so real.
Very real. Now, you know, we don't have Hell's Kitchen anymore, but we do have MasterChef, which I, you know, there was like a 2-hour episode, or I guess it was like an hour and a half with a shitload of commercials or something. But I thought it was really entertaining. It's the first part of the show was them and this thing called a mystery box. Very interesting here. And I'll just kind of play this clip and we'll set it up and then we'll talk about it. Okay. Let's do this. Oh, and when they see the MasterChef kitchen, did you notice?
It's the same kitchen they've been cooking in.
I know, but they're, it's like, have they been keeping you guys in a, like a dumpster or something? it was like in The Colony. They make them sleep in tents for 48 hours, and they're like, okay, now we're going to see the kitchen. They're like,
my right, kitchen.
Let's check this out.
A table outside.
The kitchen. The crown of America's first ever MasterChef, plus $250,000,
MasterChef.
And your very own cookbook will be won or lost inside here. Find your station quickly.
Oh,
let's
sorry.
Go.
Getting excited.
Clearly, there's an apron behind each station with your names on it. Now, we have an amazing test. In front of you all is the mystery box.
Whoa.
Now, we'll select three stunning dishes. Out of those two dishes, we'll nominate one winning dish. Now, the person with the best dish out of those three will get to pick the main ingredient in our next test later today. Now, here's the bad news. All of you, listen. Make this count, because eliminations are just around the corner. Oh! Lift those boxes.
Oh.
Nice.
Now, you have a double-cut pork chop. Wonderful bunch of flat-leaf parsley, cabbage, the most amazing ciabatta bread, a delicious
ciabatta.
Granny Smith apple, beautiful lemon, beautiful vine tomatoes.
I'm going to make an apple ciabatta sandwich.
You have a little bottle of cognac. And just for that sweet tooth, cinnamon
and chocolate.
I'm going to
really wow these guys.
14 ingredients. Use as many or as little as you wish. If there's one ingredient you wouldn't use in there, what would it be?
It would be the chocolate.
The chocolate,
for sure.
But chocolate is the devil of the box. It'll tempt you, take you down the wrong path.
Right. An insane chocolate.
My favorite dish, Jenna's. She's making a sandwich. You do a sandwich with leftover pork. Yeah, I heard her say that she's doing a ham sandwich. There's no ham anywhere in there. Just because it's pork, it's not ham.
I have to say, Whitney, for having never cooked a pork chop, has some excellent technique, and the pork chops look really good.
Yeah, David.
Good thing they didn't have any Orthodox Jews cooking on this.
He's got more confidence and arrogant.
Right.
And what he's done is caramelized these apples in with the pork. He's making a light sauce. He's boiling the cabbage, frying the cabbage. Clever. Sheena's working on a chocolate mousse, and then you've got Ava's making a bread pudding, so I'm really interested in people that decided to leave the savory world and start working on some sweets.
You know what I like there is Sheena, you know, they were like, oh, she's making a dessert, that's not good or whatever, but she ended up knocking it out of the park with it.
Yeah, she did, with the chocolate mousse.
That it was actually pretty good. And Whitney, kind of the young girl, they're like, we don't know if we should let you on because you're so young, and I don't know, this is going to be pretty tough. I don't know
Are
how...
Are you ready for this?
But she made that awesome pork chops. You know what I mean? Those didn't those look good, Bill? The ones
they
she
looked,
made?
They were perfectly browned.
Pork chop sandwiches.
And just gorgeous. Yum.
Wait, those... It wasn't...
Those pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches!
Oh, yeah, it's like, I'm making a ham sandwich. Oh, yeah, that's pork. Same thing. Yeah, you're not going to last long on the show, honey. You know what? Did you notice, like, they were like, you get to pick the secret ingredient in the next challenge. You know, I love – do you guys ever notice this about Gordon Ramsay? There are times I'm surprised when he's standing still and his hands aren't moving because he gets really animated. You know, he gets excited when he talks. So whenever he's just standing still, like when they're judging the food, I'm like – and this has got to kill him that he can't move around right now because he's always like, God.
He must be on some sort of calming medication.
I know. I almost think like he has a disorder where he can't stop moving or something.
Because if you even look at the Kitchen Nightmares from the UK, he's always bouncing around.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he needs Ritalin or something, but it's a street drug. But so she goes in there and they're like, we have mushrooms. We have a duck. And we have oranges.
Mandarin oranges.
Mandarin. What kind of mushrooms were they? Shiitake.
They had all kinds.
They were all kinds.
Oh, shiitake mushrooms and
shiitakes and enokis.
Yeah. And she was like, what is she going to choose? And I'm going to go ahead and reveal this, what she chooses. And one person gets way too excited over what she chooses. I thought it was a little odd. Didn't you?
Yeah, I was like.
Okay. And the theme is Chinese. They all have to make Chinese food. And it's funny how most of them are like, oh, shit.
You know, like, and then there's two Chinese people.
Yeah, who.
I think that was one of the ones that got so excited.
Oh, the first girl, Slim. Which I think she's like, oh, I have a bit of an advantage here because, you know, I make great Chinese food. And she's like really cocky all of a sudden. It kind of backfires. And she's even talking shit about Whitney. I thought that was crazy.
How dare her. Pure sweet Whitney.
Let's go and check this out. And just listen how excited they get about this secret ingredient, Steven.
The main ingredient that Whitney's chosen is Mandarin oranges.
Yes! Woo! That's right. That's just like the only person. Oh, yeah, everybody!
They're like,
it's Chinese.
She won the lottery at a funeral.
Everything you pick up and put in that basket,
she won the Mandarin Chinese.
True and true.
She thought they were playing bingo.
Excited. I know I have an advantage over the other contestants who probably had only like fast food Chinese.
Oh,
the
yeah.
extent of my knowledge of Chinese food she is like real Chinese peppers steam. And onions, soy sauce.
Yeah, I find out it's Chinese, and I'm actually excited. I'm happy.
I'm going to make really an orange happy. Dumpling. Yeah,
the problem is, I don't know how to make the perfect Chinese dish.
Really, seriously, push it to the extreme. The challenge is all about Chinese. I want to see these across the dish.
I would have made like
that the person who picked the key ingredient
rice
of the day
and egg and
doesn't
like
wind up
squeezed
in the
Mandarin
bottom
orange
three.
Juice.
This girl had an advantage over me. She had extra time. She got to choose the
Whitney
ingredient.
Whitney bombed out.
And I was just like, wow, she really doesn't know what she's doing right now. I'm totally better than Whitney at this point.
Oh.
Next up, Slim. Explain the dish.
This is Chinese spiced chicken with Mandarin orange sauce.
You've done this dish an injustice. Where's that delicious broth that you cooked the chicken in?
It's still in the pot.
Bring me a cup of broth now.
She wants some chicken stock.
Oh, man, I screwed up. I went for the rice up, and I screwed up.
In my kitchen, we would spend 6 to 8 hours trying to get a stock like that. You've done it in 1 hour and you didn't serve it. Are you crazy?
Slim and I are the same age. And we're pretty much on the same playing field. I mean, I think my food is probably tastes better than hers, but that's just my opinion.
There's like this friendly up, kind of, buddy. I'm better than her.
Yeah, wok fried chicken with some stir fried broccoli.
I love Joe's.
I don't know, it doesn't look like a Chinese dish to me. It's like kid food.
Oh.
Oh, it's right in the spleen.
It tastes like chicken nuggets soaked in orange juice.
Mm.
Is that a bad
Save
thing?
It.
When you say that to Joe Bassiak, is that
Spicy
bad?
Spicy orange chicken with steamed vegetables and rice.
Dave, is that how you wanted the plate to come out?
I'm not disappointed with the way it looks.
I'm not impressed visually. I think it looks almost kind of cartoonish.
Chitao, please.
I don't need cel-shaded food.
Pan-fried chicken and bok choy egg rolls.
So I think that the colors is really kind of a little bit unappealing. And then you go, uh-oh, knock, knock, nobody's home, empty.
It's like a hollow
Jenna,
egg
let's
roll.
Go.
Oh.
The big question I want to ask you is, you plated it up with 20 minutes to go.
Right.
And food dies as it sits in the window, clearly. And that had better taste phenomenal to put it up with 20 minutes to go.
Basically an orange chicken with the snap peas, with the orange-infused rice.
This is the problem with this whole round.
Did you see how he just threw it down?
It's boring. It's not the spirit of what we came here to do. And if you don't want to deliver on the highest level, if you want to play the game and be safe, you're not going to win this thing.
This is MasterChef. We're trying to find the best amateur chef in America. Who's here to do that? The challenges are not going to get easier. So get ready to bring it. Bring it 100%. And if you're not, you should probably just leave your apron and check yourself out right now, because this is getting frustrating.
That guy's always so excited. You know what I would have made?
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
A Jill sandwich.
How do you do that with mandarin oranges?
You put her in a room and make the ceiling flatten her out like a pancake. Put it in some ciabatta bread. No, but I thought that was great when he did that moment. It was kind of like, would you want to go next after her after that? He throws the knife fork down. And it's like
everybody pretty much did almost the same dish, you know?
Yeah, stir fry. Stir fry. It's like, oh, you're boring us. And I think Jenna went right then, didn't she? That she got eliminated in that round. But then they did the cool beach thing where they cooked for the Marines, and I thought that was pretty cool. That kind of reminded me of Top Chef, kind of like teams and stuff.
Definitely, that was very Top Chef-y.
I was rooting for the red team. What about you guys?
I was rooting for the team with the construction worker. Was that blue?
Yeah, that was the blue team.
Yeah, I like that guy.
They both have both teams have very likable people, and it, you know, there's nobody really that really annoys me. I thought it was funny that guy Dave knocked the bacon all over the floor, and Ramsey's like, "Well, it was cooked
perfectly.
It's cooked right."
Yeah, and I thought it was cool. He was helping them. He goes, "Are you sure you want to be doing that? I think you're cutting all the fat off, and it's going to make it pretty dry." He's like, "Oh, okay, you know." That guy Mike was like, oh, I'm worried he's cutting all the fat off. What is he doing? And then they ran out of veg. And you know,
yeah,
what?
That was the red team, right?
They ran out of potatoes and vegetables. And he's like, are you sure we have enough vegetables? Yeah, this is fine.
Free trade.
Are you sure? It's like, stop saying are you sure and say we need like two more vats of that shit. Just say it, you know. Stop asking them, are you sure?
I think it's better to overmake than, you know, think you have enough.
It's like you made three, make six, you know. Make as many as you have and don't stop until they say time's up.
Whatever you think it is, double it.
Yeah, just keep going. Like, your job is to do potatoes. Just keep, never stop. And when we're out of time, that's when you're done. Just keep cranking it out. So what was cool is I love the elimination round, Bill, where they did the taste test with the good old-fashioned Texas chili.
And normally that's that thing they do on Top Chef where it's almost like name that tune.
Right, you have to keep.
Like, I can name that in seven.
Yeah, keep naming the ingredients until you get one wrong.
Get it wrong.
And the first one, was it Whitney? Who was the first one?
Yeah, Whitney was.
She named like 12 ingredients. I don't think anyone had to name that many afterwards because you had to just name
it. She was 12.
When she brought out beef stock, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And
like, I don't know. That had to be a complete guess, but I was still kind of shocked at it.
And she finally went, she finally said chili powder. And they're like, we'll see. Is that one of the ingredients? Is it? No. I love how Joe Bastianich says it. Well, when they would say something, he goes, maybe it is. Is it? Yes, that is the correct ingredient. They're like, damn it, stop doing that. I like how they tease them, you know. And who went in that round?
That was the girl with the white cat eye glasses.
Oh, was that Jenna? She went then at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the poor grandmother lady. She got knocked off there. And Sheena, she got eliminated too.
The other lady. Sheena, yeah.
And that poor grandmother, you could tell she was just so out of her element that's like she doesn't have long. Remember she made the deviled eggs in that one episode? And he's like, well, that's a lot of flavor, but man, this is like from another era or something. And they're served on giant pieces of lettuce leaf. And just like, are you making this for a cafeteria? It just didn't look good. And that one guy, Farouk, he had like this giant rice circle. He's like,
I always get him confused with Chupacabra hands.
yeah, that guy, he went home. Poor. But I'm really loving this show.
I enjoy the hell out of it.
It's really cool, and it's just, you know, they make it exciting. Like that whole elimination round at the end, they did a good job. Where like, can you name this many? And it was like, you know, you were on the edge of your seat because you're like, oh, I kind of like that person. I want him to stay around.
Mm-hmm. No, stop.
Now, we're going to take a break in a second, Bill, but I was watching Top Chef, right? And, you know, I've talked about it a long time ago how the Bravo guy, he's like, only on Bravo. You know, he does that weird, like, what is he going left? He's going left channel, right channel. What the hell's going on here?
Smack dab in the middle.
Yeah. And they did this Top Chef Just Desserts promo. And just check this out. The guy annoys the shit out of me.
Every Wednesday by Bravo. You love Top Chef. You adore Gail Simmons. Now they're together for a brand new show that's gonna be sweet.
Hope you saved room for dessert.
A new batch of chefs will put their dessert skills to the test.
Desserts are my life.
I'm a giant douchebag.
Exploding in your mouth.
My desserts taste like mom made them and then someone slapped her in the face.
Gail Simmons hosts a brand new series, Top Chef Just Desserts, every Wednesday starting September 15th, only by Bravo.
Why is he? What? He's like in.
Why do they do that? I don't know.
It's like, what? It's like, all of a sudden he's talking in a soup can or something.
Like they can't get left channel, right channel, right. It's like, just make it sound tinny.
You're right.
Oh, I know. I just listened to it. Jeez.
Yeah, come on. Jesus.
Oh, Barry.
I do know. Oh, I am going to watch
it's
that
not
show.
Barry.
What? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So let's go ahead and talk about Top Chef. We got to talk about the Top Chef, right? Because there is something very similar to Master Chef this episode. Am I right? Let's go ahead and check this out. See if you can spot what's similar to Master Chef. Did you get to see this, Steven? This episode?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay, check this out. See if you sense anything similar. Bill knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Walking into the kitchen, the first thing I see is Wiley Dufresne and the sideburns. Wiley is known for using newer techniques, a very inspirational chef. I'm very impressed to see him.
Please welcome chef and owner of WD-50 in New York City, Wiley Dufresne.
Morning, chefs.
Wiley Dufresne.
Seeing Wiley there and knowing that he's into all this molecular gastronomy, who knows what the hell's underneath these boxes with these huge question marks on it.
Molecular
some sort of wacky ingredients or chemicals.
You'll be working with a mystery box. You'll each start cooking a dish using the ingredients in the box in front of you. All the boxes have identical ingredients.
Oh, yeah, we know it because we saw it on a different show this week.
Through the course of your cooking time, more mystery boxes will arrive with more ingredients. You must incorporate all of the ingredients into your dish.
Well, I think the difficulty is you have to keep your vision a little bit loose. For me,
try not to
it's
use
a
the chocolate in mine.
I just have to go with it.
Having been in your shoes before on Top Chef Masters, I know how hard a mystery box can be, and one that keeps changing, I think, is going to be quite a challenge.
Now, Gordon Ramsay, can you tell us the similarity?
The mystery box.
Both shows had mystery boxes. Whoa!
I think they got Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen music staff on this episode. Did you hear?
What? The?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They always have that. See, they.
Oh, yeah. Top Chef is constantly doing that.
Hell's Kitchen has the cicadas. Top Chef has the whale song.
They have dolphins in a tank out back.
They have the cats in heat. But I was like, whoa, two mystery boxes? Cool.
One thing
I thought was interesting about this episode, Bill, is that Angelo really kind of like is second guessing everything. Maybe he's the cocky guy. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm just got a stupid task. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's kind of like losing it.
Something happens to him where he loses all. He loses his mind, basically. He looks completely lost in the entire competition.
Yeah, they go to the CIA, so the whole thing is to make your food looks one way, but it tastes like something else. And he's like, I'm going to make a pizza. And it's like, what? And he buys frozen pastry. And even that guy, Ed, he's like, what is he doing? You know, does he want to go home? You're making, like, frozen pastry to put your food on? It didn't make any sense. But I could tell Tiffany's right away. She had gyros or gyros.
Yeah, they kept calling them gyros. You would think that a cooking show would know the proper pronunciation.
I almost think like you were saying that what is his name? The gray hair?
Eric Repair.
Eric Repair. He called it a gyro, and it's like, I'm not correcting this dude.
Yeah,
we're all from now on. It's gyro, everybody.
Eric Repair says it's gyro. It's gyro.
Yeah, I'm not correcting this dude. And I saw that guy recently on an old. Well, it was actually a brand new No Reservations Anthony Bourdain show where he was talking about like before he had the show and he had a documentary crew follow him around. And
yeah,
he was showing like, you know, he was really young and he went to visit Eric Repair. And I saw how young he was. And that guy has just been this incredible chef for a long time. And
Eric Repair has completely white hair now.
Yeah. It's funny seeing him with like darkened hair. It's like, whoa, what happened? But when Tiffany made – it looked like a steak and vegetables and stuff. But when you taste it all, it was like a cucumber sauce. But you take a bite, it's like, oh, this is a gyro. And she won it. She nailed it. And did you think it was funny? They had the head of the CIA there, and he gets a note. And he's like, well, everyone, I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Yeah,
everyone had
that
real,
was bullshit.
Everyone had this serious look on their face, like, "My God, America's being attacked right now."
Somebody just bombed Pakistan.
It's like, well, f your stupid little trivial show. I got a real shit to deal with, you know. I hope to.
No, I had a problem with it because it seemed like nobody could get a break. You know, they were all sitting around going, well, "What do you think this is?" Well, that's totally wrong. I guessed that right away.
Yeah.
It was like a contest of who could outdo one another.
Andy Dufresne. This isn't Shawshank Redemption. Wiley Dufresne, he goes, he asks the head of the CIA, he goes, do you know what that is? And he's like, not yet. He goes,
get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah, he said, so he goes, finally, I know something you don't know, which I thought was pretty funny.
That was great.
He'll be on the third season of Top Chef Masters. I'm going to win this thing, damn it. But they finally got rid of Alex, you know. And I thought it was interesting that girl Amanda, she's like, everybody hates Alex. I don't. He's a nice guy. I thought that was pretty cool that she said that.
Well, it's probably not that he wasn't a nice guy, but he was just a...
annoyed the shit out of everyone. Or, I thought it was funny that part where Angela's like...
he was a pea puree thief.
They were talking about aliens, and he was like... mentioned that he was an alien from L.A. or something. I don't know.
No, Bill, Kathy Ireland?
Do you still think, Bill, that he took the pea puree?
No, I don't.
I almost started thinking
they interviewed that Steven, the one that was eliminated like two or three people ago.
Right.
And he said that he saw Alex make his pea puree.
Okay.
So yeah, nobody stole anything. He said most likely that Ed left it behind or put it in the wrong cooler and
right.
left that cooler
well,
behind.
Like, as Alex is eliminated, he says that, you know, unfortunately the pea puree conspiracy and all this other stuff and the restaurant wars, people didn't like me, but I'm not that kind of person to start.
I felt bad for him because he said, listen, he said that he'd only been cooking for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, at least he was eliminated because his food sucked, and that's why you should get let go. I mean, what did they
but
say?
They piled up on the hate, and I just, you know, at first I didn't like him either, but then after everybody started piling on him, I was like, you know what? Back off. The same thing happened to that that woman that had the dyed red hair that we talked about like a week ago.
It's
everyone
like,
piled on her.
Yeah, you want to just say to the other contestants, if he's not worthy of being here, they will eventually eliminate him, just like you will be eliminated because you suck too, okay?
Like
you
know, it's like they're going to eliminate whoever sucks.
Yeah, they're eventually going to get him.
And guess what? You know what? He might have gotten lucky the whole time and won it just
because... it's just like, I thought it was...
It's just dumb luck.
I was bummed that Kenny got eliminated, but hey, he made a shitty meal. He gets to go.
Yep. Or he put out the shitty meal without saying, you know what, maybe we should change something.
He's
right.
Like,
I mean, like I said, it's not that he probably isn't a good cook. He just happened to put out a bad
dish
that day.
It's almost like last week I would have said, you know, like if you're Tom Colicchio, I would say something. Like, you're okay, say Alex didn't make his meal or whatever and somebody else does. You made a horrible meal, though.
Yeah.
You did, and it's not worthy of being a top chef, so you got to go. Sorry
and
about
you
all this.
Suck.
Yeah. So, guys, what do you say? We take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the colony.
All right.
All right, let's do this.
I got you lunch.
Give me a Scooby snack.
We'll return after these messages.
Got my 501 blues, Levi's, 501, shrink to fit my body, button fly, my personal Levi's, shrink to fit my body.
Kellogg's Rice Krispies, the part of this complete breakfast that goes... Kellogg's Rice Krispies. Have you heard how good they are?
When you follow these glow-in-the-dark prehistoric stickers, who knows what you'll find? One strip free in Rice Krispies.
Who puts smiles on faces and other silly places?
Wendy's!
Who has great things to eat with a taste that's a real treat?
Wendy's!
And who has a kid's meal that's fun with a frosty fries and hamburger on a bun? That's right,
Wendy's!
And now, mighty GoBots have come to Wendy's. Six special edition GoBots, 99 cents each with any purchase. Six mighty robots disguised as mighty vehicles. There's a different GoBot each week at Wendy's. Special edition GoBots, 99 cents each with any purchase.
It's tea time.
It's Nerf Indoor Golf, the game that turns your home into a nine-hole golf course. It's tough to make a disastrous shot because the balls are soft and safe. Nerf Indoor Golf from Parker Brothers.
Shall I serve, sir?
It's Nerf Ping Pong with safe, soft balls so almost any table, almost anywhere can be a table tennis table.
Good game, sir.
Nerf Ping Pong from Parker Brothers. There's only one Nerf.
Freeze. All you've got to do is freeze. Pastel mayonnaise is creamy, so creamy, and now it comes out so easy.
Freeze. Pastel mayonnaise on cheese, and your eggs will be a tease. Kraft so creamy, all you've got to do is freeze.
Now you can get the great taste of Kraft Real Mayonnaise in a handy, easy-to-use squeeze bottle.
Pastel mayonnaise is freeze.
So creamy on a hoagie bologna.
And don't forget the macaroni. Pastel mayonnaise is freeze. It on anything you please. Kraft so creamy, all you've got to do is freeze.
East meets West with a fun new way to enjoy McDonald's Chicken McNuggets. It's Chicken McNugget Shanghai. Now you get plump, tender chunks of chicken with three totally new oriental sauces. Cantonese sweet and sour, teriyaki, hot mustard, plus chopsticks, and a McFortune cookie. Taste the Orient at McDonald's. Pick up Chicken McNugget Shanghai or try to. But chop chop, the offer ends soon.
Lucky's cornered.
We'll get it, Lucky Charms, this time.
Time? That's it. I'll make a time tunnel and go back in time with the Lucky Charm. A crunchy old cereal with a rainbow of marshmallow surprises. Pink heart, orange star, yellow moons, green clovers, blue diamonds, and purple horseshoes. Time sure flies. Yeah. Ouch! 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 Guess the time ran out. Frosted Lucky Charms, a historic part of this nutritious breakfast.
Ooga, mega, mega, diga.
Little Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Kisses have big chocolate. You're gonna love. They got little silver wrappers. They got tiny little flags. They got big, big chocolate. They live in great big bags. Little Hershey's Kisses have big, big chocolate. Little Kisses have big chocolate. You're gonna love.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
So kiss a little longer, laugh a little longer, stay close a little longer, longer with Big Red. That Big Red freshness has my through with. The fresh bread goes on and on. While you chew it, say goodbye a little longer, make it last a little longer. Give your breath a lasting freshness with Big Red.
Set it down gently, fellas.
That explains it, Keebler.
What?
The buttery taste of your townhouse crackers. I knew there was a logical explanation.
Yes, sir. Elf and magic.
Right. That's why Keebler townhouse crackers taste so rich and buttery.
Just elf and magic.
Right. Well, I'll let you elves get back to work.
Keebler townhouse with a rich buttery taste. And now low-salt townhouse. Same buttery taste with only half the salt.
Special.
special today.
J is for apple. J is for Jack. Nothing could be finer at Apple Jack's Diner.
Apply sweet, Apple Jack.
Cinnamon crunchy, fun to eat.
What'll it be?
Hey, give me my usual breakfast treat.
Real apple makes Kellogg's Apple Jack the apply sweet part of his complete breakfast.
Let's have an order and taste.
Fun to eat
and apply sweet.
These lonely Pound Puppies need someone to love. Someone who'd love a little puppy love.
For you, Grandma.
Pound Puppies are as cuddly as real puppies.
He'll keep you company in the dorm.
They're the perfect way to say, I love you. For birthdays, holidays, or any day. Pound Puppies, so soft and adorably lonely. Sometimes the hardest thing about giving them...
Happy Easter.
...is giving them up.
Pound Puppy, you're my one and only puppy love.
This is just a flat old tater chip. It's just flat. It's just tater. It's just an old chip, but not this. It's a new Cajun spice ruffle potato chip. Look at them ridges full of cayenne pepper, onion, garlic, paprika. Oh, this is Cajun spice. Ain't nothing flat about it.
Try new Cajun spice ruffles brand potato chips with a feisty, spicy bite in every crunch. It's the new taste that won't leave you flat.
Oh, boy, they want them to be guaranteed.
Over there.
Huh? Who is? Hey.
We did not bump butts once.
Don't even know what that means. Now, you guys, as we all know, the colony this season, season two, is hardcore. Am I right?
Yes.
They got cattle prods, they got, you're getting sprayed with mace, and holy shit.
They made machetes.
Holy shit, Steven, they set fire to the house across the way. Was that crazy? They invite the man and the woman who are over there to live with them, and I always, like, did they ever mention how many supplies they had? Like, they had all those.
They had their stuff hidden. They didn't.
Yeah,
it looked like they had them on hand carts, and they brought it all in.
I know they shared chocolate, but did they say, we got a lot more food, but I guess it's not that
well,
much.
Well, they said that when they were in there, he said, yeah, we got rice for a week. Were kind of divvying, you know, saying what they had a little bit.
It's not that much.
Yeah, it wasn't. So I think probably about a week's worth of food, maybe.
So they all go to sleep and everything's happy, and then this shit happens. Let's check it out.
Guys?
Yeah.
Wait, go. Okay. Hurry up, there's a fire. A big ass fire.
Big ass fire.
Yeah, in our camp next door.
The roof.
As part of the experiment, Amber and Michael's former house is set on fire to test the colonists' ability to control their instincts and respond as a group.
Where is everybody?
There's some panic.
Somebody basically came in and set the place where I was sleeping yesterday on fire. That really freaks me out. Like, if they wouldn't have brought us in today... Then that could have been us.
Okay, calm down, little lady. They're not going to set you on fire.
Holy hell.
Yeah, look at the size of those flames going up.
I think we should send somebody out just to go around this building.
No.
Nobody goes out.
Nobody goes out.
Look.
For every action, there's always
we'll set you on fire.
We got away with some of the stuff that we didn't know who it belonged to. Could be a revenge motive.
But nobody's seen anybody, right?
No, I woke up, I saw a little bit of light.
Hey, someone just ran by. And it was definitely
Jill, the
an
guy with like night vision
person.
Binoculars or something.
Look out the other windows besides the fire.
It's the cameraman.
It's more dramatic than it needs to be.
Then go look.
You're being more dramatic than it needs to be.
They want to get in here.
Right now,
they don't want to burn this place down. They want what's in this place. The trees caught fire.
It's so hot right there. It's really unsafe.
Is there even one other, any other day that doesn't go something wrong?
No, I cannot see the front door. See?
Looks like the guy that we wrestled with a couple times.
go out there, we're going to get our asses kicked.
Was it driving you nuts that they just wouldn't go out there?
Obviously somebody else sent a warning to us.
Guys, I'm going to go look from the window upstairs.
Like, what were they going to do?
Man, I love these drums on the ship.
Who got Bear McCreary to score this?
You better go home, buddy, because you're done.
Don't threaten anybody, please.
Don't threaten anyone, please. I love that. She's like, your ass. We're going to kick your ass, buddy.
Your fight instinct is different. Some people charge head first into battle, while others play it safe. But in a group setting,
survival depends on everyone staying out of harm's way. Last time we threatened somebody, we got sprayed in the face with pepper spray.
I agree.
We have a crossbow. We can shoot some of these guys.
I don't think anybody understands.
It's just like our house. He's like, it's not your house.
Where you were sleeping,
just stop.
Totally burnt to the ground.
As dawn breaks, the intruder continues to scavenge the yard.
It's like he's going slingshot. To the car. Shoot him with the rock or something.
He's taking the stuff from the windmill.
Boy, we're showing him how brave we are.
I love that. Jim, shut up.
I think two of us should go out there myself.
We're so brave right now.
But what if there's more people, you guys? And we'd be playing back the second attack that we went through.
I say meet force with force. If you guys want to sit in here and kill us all, that's fine.
I'd love for him to yell at the window, I'm going to cut you up, little girl.
Stuff, that's good, too. Let's just make a decision.
Go get my knives.
Before you go outside, we hide.
I got my knives in here.
Right now, let's hide the food.
Let's get
they can get that machete looks that looked like Cloud sword from Final
Guys,
Fantasy VII and go hack up some dude.
Out of his tractor.
What did he take?
A bucket.
The black bucket.
Jokes on him.
That bastard took our bucket.
You're the fastest one. Go check and see what's going on.
That was a shit bucket.
On fire. Yeah, that was from their porta potty last week. So the jokes on that marauder. Wow, that was crazy.
What did that porta potty sound like?
That was too close.
Now, you know what was cool about basically when that one dude, what's the guy's name? Reno. He runs out there. He's like, I'm going to go run around. And he does like a perimeter around the building.
He said, I'm going to go run around.
I'm going to go run around the building. And that other dude, he's like, it's really stupid for him to go out there by himself. Shouldn't he have backup or something? It's like everybody was just making they weren't planning anything out.
They all think that they're in the apocalypse.
Yeah. But the thing is, they were all like, no, let's stay inside. Let's stay inside. They're going to get us. Now they're like too scared. Before they were really like, don't start some shit with us. We'll kick your ass. And now they're like, no, let's just lock ourselves inside. They don't want to do anything.
They have cattle prods and mace. We don't want to do anything.
The first colony, they did that too. They locked themselves inside. They wouldn't come out. They only talked through the door.
These guys are more vulnerable, it seems like, a lot. They have a wider open space.
Openings.
They try to lock that gate, but there's still other places everywhere. All you got to do is come in through the creek or whatever.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, I loved when what's his face? DeVille, he goes on the bridge and he like collapses and he's like, man, this is going to sound really mean stuff, but I'm sorry about that, but you're not allowed on the bridge anymore. He gives this look like, what?
It's like yelling at an old man.
You're
not allowed on that bridge. You ruined it.
You're going to hurt yourself, old man. You can't come out here.
He took like 40 minutes to cross it. No wonder it fell. The bridge part settled into the...
Sorry about that.
Dude, how cool if this would have been. I swear to God, it would have been evil, but bucket on top of your building in front of the front door, and it was like, there's a marauder at the front door!
We should absolutely do that.
Now the guy would be like, and he's like, my eyes! Like the urine is burning his eyes. And they're like, enjoy that shit, buddy!
Or you dig a hole and throw the leaves over it when they run into it.
No, not only that, like they find some balloons. It's like, I got an idea. They like load up their... they're like throwing balloons at him. He's like, what is this? And they're like, that's right, buddy. It's our feces. You like that, marauder? And they're like, dude, I'm quitting the show. It's a shitty acting job being a marauder. I'm not doing this anymore.
Balloon fight!
You just use your own excrement as weapons. That would have been, oh, man.
I was going to say, if you're thinking about pissing those balloons, you better have some back pressure.
You're right.
But I love the idea of building a windmill, though. I can't wait to see how that turns out. But
that was quite possibly one of the worst things I've ever seen. taking those things off the fence, those planks of wood, and lying it on a hub.
Well, especially when they showed the storm and how hard the wind and rain was, it's like their windmill would have been knocked
the moment
shit.
That thing gets put up, it's going to fall apart.
That would, and then at the, what did you think of the end with the girl? Was her name Becky?
Becca.
She goes, get buried. That was kind of scary. And I would think, even though, okay, this isn't real, it still would be traumatic being grabbed by three men, forced on the ground, and then tied up. You can't tell me that wouldn't be a little traumatic.
I was hoping they'd be like, I won't get me some of this. You know, just like a blatant, like nasty old rapist.
Tell me,
rushing in there in the banjo music.
Tell me,
yeah, the banjo.
If you were there and you had that machete, wouldn't it be hard? Like you, like reality of it all, you'd run up and hit one of those guys in the head.
Yeah, they've convinced themselves that the nuclear flu is real at this point.
What would the producers do? Like, no, they're actors. They're like, just beheads one of the dudes. And he's like,
he's holding it up.
He's like, oh my God, he's gone primal on us. Holy shit. And he's like,
put him down.
I guess there'll be no Colony 3.
Yeah, the show is getting shut down.
You're right.
Well, thank you.
Or they should do something like, if they want to do something like that, you know, where it make it seem more real, but give them weapons that would, you know, they're fake weapons, but you hit them and leave like paintball marks. You know, okay, you're dead. Boom.
Well, if those guys have cattle prods.
What is this, LARPing?
Well, I'm just saying if they're getting serious about it like that, you know.
Well, if those people can have cattle prods, they need to make some kind of like electrocuting weapon. Because, hey, if you deem me being – you think it's safe for me to get electrocuted, I'm going to electrocute one of your actors, okay?
Why don't they do, like, the arc welding on one of those guys?
Oh, Barry!
Oh, no, Barry!
But that one tough chick was cracking me up. And she's, like, threatening the guy. And they're like, whoa, don't threaten him, okay? It was just funny how they're like, no. We've done that before.
You better get the f*** out of here, we're going to kick your ass!
All right, guys, you ready to talk about Entourage? Because Entourage has been fun up until now. It's getting pretty
up
serious.
Up until now.
I mean, Vinny, it's obviously has a problem. Because when the episode starts, he's snorting coke, guys. Are you getting concerned?
Yes. With Scott Conn. I'm more concerned that he's hanging out with Scott Conn.
Yeah. It's like, dude, it's a bad influence to hang out with Scott Conn. But, you know, one thing is I know they're going to immediately blame Sasha for his behavior. She doesn't seem like, I don't know, is she an influence on him? I don't know.
I don't think so. You don't see her snorting any coke.
It seems like since, I guess, what the
Scott Conn.
Yeah, he's like, who brought the coke is what I want to know. And another thing is, like, since he did that stunt on the set of that movie, and he was like, yeah, I want to start
adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, and then he dove out an airplane, and now he's like, doing hardcore drugs because he's trying to match. I don't know what they're trying to.
I blame Nick Cassavetes and his shitty movies.
And his bad neck tattoos.
And buying the motorcycle.
Yeah, all that. And it's like, what is going on? But one thing that I think is funny is, what is his name? Randall Wallace. The show's kind of making him look like, like a goody-goody or something. I don't know. It's like, the first time he thought he was drunk, now he's like, he's on coke. I don't know. Let's go ahead and just play this clip. It's the spiraling out of control of Vinny. I'm pretty upset, Steven. I'm sorry.
I am.
What do you got?
Meeting.
All right, superhero stuff. You ready?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
No, you don't look ready.
Why not?
You look tired.
I do?
Yeah, and you smell. Or maybe I smell. I sweat when I meditate. Vince. You okay?
Yeah. Took a Vicodin last night. Knocked me out good. I guess I'm still not awake.
Okay.
I'm gonna wash my face. Grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah, maybe grab a few, huh? So how are you, Vince?
I'm good. Look, I just want to say I'm sorry about our last meeting. Bringing a date obviously wasn't the most professional thing to do.
I'm sorry.
I was more concerned with the fact I thought you were drunk.
I wasn't. I one glass of tequila.
And you're tweeting about tequila now. Like, you really like the stuff, huh?
It's a company my friend got me into, but don't worry. No more tweets about it. My fingers are sealed. You know, my lips are sealed, but you tweet with your fingers.
That's fine. So look, Vince, here's funny, why I wanted to have this meeting. Obviously, as you know, your commitment to do Airwalker is what gave the studio the confidence to greenlight the movie.
And you're directing?
Well, thank you. Hopefully that had a little something to do with it. But here's the deal. If we're going to go spend more than a year of our lives together, I need to know that I can count on you.
You can.
I need to know that everything about you and your personal life is in control and in order.
It is. It is. I think we're going to have a lot of fun on this one.
Great.
All right, what do you up to for the rest of the day?
Sasha and I are going to grab a bite to eat.
All right, enjoy.
Always.
I'll talk to you later.
I said the meeting with Randall went great.
Why wouldn't it?
Ari's calling for you.
Great. Hey, what's up?
What the fuck is going on?
Well, hello to you, too. What's your fucking problem?
My problem is that Wallace is not happy about his meeting with Vince.
I just spoke to Vince. He said the meeting went great.
Did he?
Yeah, why? What'd Randall say?
He said he thought Vince was on coke.
What?
That's what he said.
Well, I hope you told him he wasn't.
Eric.
Ari, I know Vince for 30 years. He's never done coke a day in his life.
Whether he has or hasn't, Wallace's impression of him was not good.
It's a Pepsi, man.
What's the studio's impression?
I'm waiting to hear back from Dana on that.
You know what? I'm going to call Vince.
I've left word for him already. Let me know if you hear from him.
If cell phones weren't invented, the show couldn't exist, could it?
What's that? I don't think Vince was on coke at the meeting.
Come on.
No, right? Maybe I should call Randall.
You
Maybe
like
you
Billy?
Should call Vince
like,
first. Vince, finally. Vince, where the hell you been?
We decided to drive up the coast. We didn't have any service.
Yeah, well, we got a problem.
What now?
Wallace thinks you were on coke at the meeting.
What?
Yeah, Dana's freaking out.
He told that to the studio?
Yes.
And what did you say?
Ari told me. I told him no way.
Well, I hope Ari sets them straight.
Well, he's got his own problems right now.
Why does this Randall Wallace just say shit to his face?
Yeah. I thought it did.
Are you on coke?
I mean, maybe I was a little nervous. And I was tired, so I drank a lot of coffee.
I like how Vince
I can't believe
he
called the studio without telling me right to my face.
All right, I'll call Dana and tell her I know you 30 years. I've never seen you do coke.
Okay.
Now
thanks.
Accidentally drive off the PCH
I'm
like
sure
that plastic
fine.
Surgeon.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, E, I'll see you on Monday. All will be well.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
You're bad?
Why?
You totally just lied to him.
No, I said all will be well, and it will be.
I'm concerned about him.
Oh. Robot Dave. Dave is concerned about him. I think it'd be interesting if Sasha was like, you're not the person I thought you were. Like,
dude, you're
your
such
friend.
A coke fiend.
Yeah, and just like she dumps him. He's like, what have I done? You know? It's just really sad.
I'm concerned about him.
I know. Us too. It's nice to
what
see
are they
you. Try,
you know, we enjoy Entourage whenever it's stupid fun. Not whenever they try to actually put some sort of lesson into it. Who are
You're
they
right.
trying to fool?
You know what? If they're going to do this, they need to go all the way.
Don't make it an after-school movie.
I want Vince to now spiral out of control and not
He needs to turn into Tom Sizemore and be on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Full-blown spiral out of control. He's Robert Downey Jr. He's in rehab and all that stuff. Don't you think?
Was that Matthew Perry that... Or was that Robert Downey Jr. that climbed into somebody's house and went to bed and...
Robert Downey. One of their,
That was Robert Downey. Yeah. That's what he needs to do.
You know what would have been great in that scene with Randall Wallace, where if he was like still coked up, he'd be like, well, I kind of want to talk to you about something. Like, maybe you could get Sasha in the movie too. And the guy's like, what? And he's like, yeah, maybe you could find a part for her. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll see what we can do. And he's like, dude, what is wrong with this guy? Like, just kind of like being a little more insane, you know?
Mm-hmm. And he's like, make him look like a tweaker.
Yeah, just like, and hey, do you think. Maybe I could get a front on some of my pay on the movie. And they're like, what? Just like totally like nuts. That would have been awesome.
That would be good.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah, good man. For you.
Wow.
Sweet little me.
Okay.
Like sausage.
Wow.
The meow meow.
Let's talk about True Blood, huh? No, it's hard not. It's hard to talk about this episode without going right to the ending because the ending was.
You
so,
have to.
The ending was so awesome to this episode that I was just kind of like, "Wow, awesome!" Like
well, everything before
credits.
That didn't really matter. I mean, you had the V police, you had Eric telling the authority.
Now, I
want
to ask
his...
you guys: was the V police guys were they vampires or were they humans? I wonder.
Well, if they're only out at night, I'd have to say they're vampires.
Because they have, well, did they have like
they
silver
those...
on their outfits too
yeah,
or something?
They had,
yeah. But they had gloves and everything on, so the silver wouldn't affect them.
One thing is like I've read some of the books in the Sookie Stackhouse, and they do have vampire cops, which I thought was interesting because they've never really brought it up on the show. So it'd be interesting if they had like this vampire task force, you know? Because, I mean, the King of Mississippi, he's got... you know, vampire thugs, so why not?
Yeah.
You know,
well, he's got wolf thugs.
Because it would be, you know, that's one concept that's kind of hard to accept that if you think about it, like if you're a vampire and you're mortal, I'm going to get a job as a security guard, but I guess you got to pay your rent. It's kind of weird when you start thinking of it like that. Like, I'm going to be a henchman. I'm a vampire. I'm immortal. I'm going to go see the world. But
when you become a vampire, it's not like all of a sudden you're rich.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like Steven Root's character in the first season. He just liked to live in his house and watch TV. And he's like, hero. I love heroes. Remember?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm a regular guy. I'm just immortal. So
he's
I'm
a 1,000-year-old couch potato.
But I just love that whole bit with Russell Edgington.
Oh, well, from what I understand, he's a non-entity in the book.
It's just, they kind of really just expanded on this. And, you know, one thing that I got to say that I loved immediately is how just screwed up he was over his Talbot being killed.
His Talbot.
In his crystal jar.
Yeah, he's got the remains of Talbot in a jar, and he's talking to him. And I was like, oh, this dude's gone nuts.
He's out of
his
mind.
Is that sucker, like, melted on that top? Because he seemed to be...
I know.
A lot of strenuous activities with it.
But another, when he
seals
runs
it with
in there,
wax or
when he first runs in Talbot's body, you know, when you kill
he's
a vampire,
pulling it all up
like,
around him.
It's all this gooey blood, and he's like, oh, Talbot, and he's like hugging the nerve endings or whatever the hell it is. And it's like, dude. And does
it look like raspberry jello with like tendrils in it?
Yeah, it was really gross. Like, I was like, I don't want to look too closely to see what this is, but. I love when they showed the Eric point of view of flying into Fantasia, and he's telling Bam, we got to go somewhere quickly. And she's like, I've never seen you really frantic before, so it's kind of freaking me out. She's like, no, we got to get out of here really quick. And I love that. What's that girl's name? The one that's always screaming, and they've glamored her so much that she's just breaking
shit. What is her name?
They're like, do you live nearby? She's like, why? And then the task force shows up, and she's like,
I think she's Shirt's sister.
Yeah, she is totally. She's just like out of it. And that lady's like, silver him. And he puts the silver on her brain. And I love, she's like, aah! And it's just like, oh, shut up. I loved all that stuff. And you know, I thought it was kind of really weird that they brought that, what's that Franklin vampire back? Because, I mean, basically. Tara,
well, they had to kill him.
Yeah, well, Tara, she smashed his head, and I was like, I'm not sure if he's dead because his body didn't explode or whatever. His body was twitching, but she pretty much flattened his head like a pancake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you throw a vampire in the ground, in the soil, he'll heal over time or something. I don't know.
I guess the brain rebuilds itself.
But it was kind of – basically, she was victimized and tied up till finally she freed herself. She fought back. So then they put her in the situation where he shows back up where Jason saves her. I don't know if that was really necessary.
Yeah, where the hell did he come from?
And, you know, I know they set up earlier that he had the gun loaded with the anti-vampire shotgun shells because he was going to go after
Bill.
Still
a little much.
Yeah, it was just like out of nowhere. I almost would have preferred her kill him on her own and not need Jason to come up out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Well, that's just... What, the second boyfriend that he's killed of hers? Not real boyfriend, though.
Hey, that's the second boyfriend. He wasn't my... Wait, who was the first? Oh, wait. It's like, shit,
wait, that was
the
deputy.
And I just love Jessica, the vampire. And that whole scene with Hoyt, and she's like, how's your date going or whatever? And he's like, I hate her.
I get angry that they don't use her more.
Yeah.
Because every time she's on screen, I just smile. I love her character and how she's growing from this. Whenever she was that Bible thumping, not knowing what to do, girl.
They called her
kind of like growing up.
Yeah, and that's why I loved when Bill was teaching her how to fight and stuff. But I love the scene also with Sam being egged on by his brother. You know, not being a tough guy, he's a pussy or whatever. And then that we still don't know what that girl Crystal's dad is, what kind of creature
their
he
family is.
But Sam beating the living shit out of him.
Yeah,
that was crazy. That kind of reminded me of the scene in History of Violence when the son is in school being taunted by the bully.
Yeah,
he just beats the living shit out of him. But it all winds up at the end. Oh, well, that's one thing when we were talking about Russell Edgington. He's got Talbot in a jar, and he's watching the Vampire League there at Fantasia. He's like, they're all in it on it together. You know, he's like, they're all out to get me or whatever. And so the newscast is happening, and the Vampire League chick is there in her limo doing stuff. And all of a sudden this appears on the news. And I thought that was awesome.
Polls show the measure gaining support in recent months, although nearly 20% of the country remains undecided.
Does that help you decide, America? Do not turn off the camera!
I love he's holding the guy's spine.
Yeah, the spine.
You see how quickly I can kill. Ladies and gentlemen.
My name is Russell Edgington, and I have been a vampire for nearly 3,000 years. Now, the American Vampire League wishes to perpetrate the notion that we are just like you, and I suppose in a few small ways we are. We're narcissists.
We care only about getting what we want, no matter what the cost, just like you. Global warming, perpetual war, toxic waste, child labor, torture, genocide. That's a small price to pay for your SUVs and your flat screen TVs, your blood diamonds, your designer jeans, your absurd garish McMansions. Futile symbols of permanence to quell your quivering, spineless souls. But no. In the end, we are nothing like you. We are immortal because we drink the true blood. Blood that is living, organic, and human. And that is the truth the AVL wishes to conceal from you. Because let's face it, eating people is a tough sell these days, so they put on their friendly faces to pass their beloved VRA. But make no mistake, mine is the true face of vampires!
Why would we seek equal rights? You are not our equals. We will eat you after we eat your children. Now time for the weather. Tiffany?
That was fantastic. And I was just realizing, like, as I was watching it, like, what a game changer this is. Because the vampires, they could not spin this no matter what. He killed a guy on live TV and said what we're capable of. And any kind of, like, people are like, well, vampires, they don't seem that bad, like, in this world. Like, you realize, no, they are that bad. They want us dead. He wants to rule us. So it's, like, no way to spin it. From now on, people can't really walk around vampires like they are in this world and going, you know, it's kind of spooky at first, but they're just regular people. It's like, no, none of that's happening anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember that we also, even though people know vampires are real, they don't know werewolves are real and other stuff like that. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, they don't know shapeshifters.
Yeah. So it's like this whole kind of underworld of creatures. Yeah, there was that bit where Bill showed up there, too. That was weird. But that was
I love my appearances on that show.
But But that was just such an awesome ending. And you know what's cool is I started, you know, he's like, I'm 3,000 years old. His whole accent, like southern accent, is all like fabricated, you know? Because remember in that flashback, like when Eric was a Viking and he was like, Viking? I don't remember the way he talked and everything. So it's just cool knowing he's 3,000 years old and he's even like way older than Eric and.
And Godric.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know. I don't want it to like fizzle out. I want there to be some real confrontation near the end of the season right here. How many episodes are left? I don't know.
Two? Three?
Yeah, I'd almost say don't kill Russell off. Keep him around for next season.
No, please. Let him be the constant.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's just been really – he's made it really fun this season.
Yeah, so it's – when I watched that episode, the moment it was over, I was just like, wow, that makes up for everything that was wrong with season two. Just that speech
right.
alone.
Yeah, totally. And it, you know what was
and
so cool?
And it brought back the vampire rights thing, too, you
well,
know, from the first
when
season.
When you were watching that and the news was on in the background, where it's almost like your brain like, I wonder if something's going to show up on the news right here.
Yeah, like, so did I.
It was almost like just a split second right before it happens, and he's like there. He just punches his hand through the guy. I thought that was great. It was awesome.
Let me just get this straight.
I love that he punches his hand through the guy and then pulls it back and takes the spine with it.
I know he's like spineless and he throws it over his shoulder. That was great. So, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
All right, let's do some news.
All right, let's do the news.
What the fuck is going on?
Well, Bill's about to tell you, Ari, in the news.
All right, so here out of Indianapolis, police arrested a near Northside man whose sagging trousers apparently even exceeded today's low standards. Indianapolis Metro Police Officer Daniel Green was on foot patrol Tuesday when he saw a 21-year-old man sitting on a green electrical box chatting on a cell phone. Green wrote in a report that Demetrius Russ of Indianapolis had his pants pulled down below his knees with his boxer shorts exposed.
Jesus.
I informed him that he was sitting on private property with his pants pulled down on top of an electrical box.
I asked
Mr. Russ why his pants were down and why they were below his knees. He informed me that he was just swagging.
You two are bumping butts over there.
I informed him that swagging did not involve exposing your genitals through your boxers because your pants were pulled all the way down.
Hey!
I guess in Indianapolis, the craze that went out in the 90s is coming back stronger than ever.
What?
So I remember Chris Cross did that, right?
Yeah.
Chris Cross will make you jump, jump.
What's your
Daddy
problem?
Mac will make you jump, jump.
I don't want to remember.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
They were awesome.
Oh,
all right. A man taken into custody for sexual assault allegations now face obscenity charges after police say he was caught stroking himself inside a police interrogation room. Kansas City police arrested 25-year-old Cortez R. Mormon after they said he attempted to assault a woman he offered a ride home to. An identified victim tells police she was walking home when Mormon spotted her and lied, saying he was a friend of her nephew. Okay. First off, why would anybody believe that?
Oh, friend of my nephew. Okay.
Okay. After getting the woman into the car, he allegedly pulled into a parking lot and demanded fellatio.
Oh, my goodness.
To kill the woman. Oh, my gosh. Come on, man.
Oh, Barry.
Yeah. the woman said, you'll just have to kill me. Punched the guy in the face. And she fought back and escaped. The woman was caught by the Mormon. The Mormon? But police caught up, and when they left and put him in the room, he pulled out his penis and began to masturbate. So apparently this guy was really horny.
That's gonna be sweet.
And I'm sure it's all on camera somewhere.
Sweet little me.
The Bravo guy will love it.
Oh my god.
That's gonna be great.
If you love Top Chef, you'll love this guy. It's like, I don't even know what that means. What? Wow.
I'm
in Paris, French police have arrested two teenage girls they say stole hundreds of euros from unsuspecting cash machine customers after distracting them by flashing their breasts.
They're bad.
The 14-year-old girls were taken to the Paris prosecutor's office to face charges, while a 12-year-old accomplice was placed in a home.
They're kind of young there.
Well, I think what happened was the two 14-year-olds would flash their breasts, and then the 12-year-old would swoop in and take the cash.
Ah.
You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin.
The girls first struck last week when they approached a man withdrawing cash from a ATM in the 6th District of Paris. One of the girls tried to distract him by sticking a newspaper under his nose. When that failed, she opened her shirt and grabbed his crotch while the other girl swiped 300 euros. Wow, that guy was taking out 300 euros?
Wow.
The girl struck again with the help of the 12-year-old a few days later when the same method was used to steal 500 from a woman. I gotta say, it's pretty ingenious. But what was the woman doing looking? Was she really that impressed? Or just shocked? All right. Angered that a Piggly Wiggly shopper was
Piggly Wiggly still exists?
Yes, Piggly Wiggly still exists.
Wow.
Give me a Scooby snack.
He was angered that a Piggly Wiggly shopper was in the express lane with more than 10 items. A Wisconsin man began berating the woman, called her fat and ugly, and ended up being busted by cops for disorderly conduct.
You two are bumping butts over there.
According to Sockville Police Department, last week Piggly Wiggly's incident began when Grace Hernandez, with 37 items in her cart, approached an empty express line. After asking her clerk if she could check out there, Hernandez began emptying her cart. When James X. Crins, 48, allegedly approached her and began verbally abusing her. Crins asked Hernandez, "What is this, 80 items at a 10 items or less express lane?" When Hernandez replied, "I got permission, why do you have a problem with that?" To which Crins replied, "I do have a problem with that. You're fat and ugly."
Whoa.
Yeah, he's talented.
He's imaginative, too.
Yeah, he really is.
What kind of stuff did she have in her basket?
Chicken nuggets,
I would love to know.
And orange juice.
Mm. Sounds pretty good.
That would probably make a good thing. It's a good thing.
You're right.
According to cops, Hernandez, 56, became afraid of Crins, who believed
Barry! I was
just coughed on my own spit. Thanks for the concern, Jill. So, Hernandez became afraid of Crins, who believed he was very aggressive towards her. When Hernandez told Crins that she was going to call 911 and report being threatened, he said, "Oh, does he like fat and ugly women too?"
Oh, dude, come on.
I'm concerned about him.
This guy's a jerk.
He's an asshole. Turns out he's a freelance writer for the local newspaper.
What?
Yeah. So this guy, this imaginary man is a writer.
Jeez.
He saves all his good stuff for the paper.
Port Angeles, a man in a child's banana costume and a friend were arrested after a string of events led Clallam County Sheriff's deputies to corner their car on Old Olympic Highway. Carlton Jeffrey Conner, 21, who is apparently in the Marine Reserve, was arrested for investigation of reckless endangerment, aiming or discharging a weapon, and indecent exposure.
You know,
police Conner, fully costumed in a yellow banana, exposed himself to a woman at a Wendy's restaurant.
Was there a hole in the banana in the lower part?
A hole in the banana. And drove through Four Seasons Ranch brandishing a shotgun.
What?
What is this guy doing?
You better get the f*** out of here, we're going to kick your ass!
An 18-year-old woman was in the car with them. But they could not name her, and they did not arrest her for any to be involved in any of the crimes. The banana costume has been seized and put into evidence, though.
Awesome.
Which, you know, when you have somebody doing that, it's a must.
Let me just get this
all
straight.
All you know is he was drinking earlier in the day, but didn't really have a reason for the costume.
Oh, Barry!
Port Angeles Police Department received the first report about a costume man around 6 p.m. as he was seen at Wendy's. After leaving Wendy's, he drove to Sars Market on the east side of Port.
I wouldn't shop there.
At the east side of Port Angeles. Then they were called in for a car doing a burnout. So they were doing 360s in the market parking lot.
That was too close.
There's a man in a banana costume doing 360s in a pickup truck in a parking lot.
It's a man in a banana suit doing donuts.
Yeah, this guy's confused.
You're right.
After leaving Port Angeles, the group made a stop at Four Seasons Ranch, where Conner, still dressed in the banana costume, got out, brandished a shotgun, and began yelling. We believe he was yelling something or other about white supremacy. Oh,
I'm
excellent.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
That's always a surefire way to get yourself arrested.
He's a white supremacist banana, exposing himself with a shotgun. This is a guy who's like, too much, okay? Just pick one.
Either you're crazy or you're a white supremacist.
Are you going to dress in a banana or are you going to have a shotgun? You can't have all three, son. All right, and that's news for this week.
That's going to be sweet.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
I'm going to stay away from SARS Market. That's all I know.
Yes, apparently they've got a very bad transmittable virus there.
All right, guys, let's... what do you say, Steven? What do we do now on the show?
DVDs?
DVDs! Yeah, that's it! Hey! Let's do some DVDs.
Ow! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Woohoo!
Yeah! DVDs!
Sweet little me.
No, you're not included, dude.
All right. DVDs for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010.
You're right.
Yes, I know I am. I just read it. let's see here. No, nothing in A. Let's go to B. The Backup Plan. With Jennifer Lopez and some guy who was in
It's the guy from the vampire show called Moonlight. And he's on the new Hawaii Five-O. And I was like, oh, man, this looks cool. It's got Jin from Lost. It's got Boomer from BSG. Scott Kahn.
Oh, shit. It's got Scott Kahn.
And then it was like... And wow.
He's got to go ruin everything.
Why is he in that?
All right, so apparently this is another one of those films where a woman wants to get artificially inseminated because she's a strong female character and doesn't need a man.
That's going to be sweet.
She falls in love with a man anyways. I think something like that opened this weekend with...
What happens is she gets knocked up, Bill, and she doesn't have anyone in her life, but then she meets this guy and falls in love. How does she tell him that she's pregnant when she could have done it in the first 5 minutes of the movie to be over?
But there's something with Jennifer Aniston that's very similar that opened this weekend.
Yeah, that one, Jason Bateman replaces the sperm with his own, and then he never tells her. You know, she has. I think it's like.
Wait, how does he do that?
Because he accidentally knocks it in the sink, and he like has to replace it real quick. So then, like, cut to years later, and the kid looks exactly like him, and
same mannerisms.
It's like that's my son. Like, he has the same mannerisms. He's a hypochondriac, just like him, and he like doesn't know how to tell her that, like, hey, this is my kid too.
Oh, well, that sounds a little better, and it doesn't have Jennifer Lopez in it.
And
so.
You know what, Bill? Comedy ensues. How great is that? And
you love Top Chef.
That's right. If you love Top Chef and
you adore Gail Simmons,
you're gonna love this new movie, huh? Right, Steven?
Not sure about Gail Simmons, but I do adore her chestal area.
Hey,
what? I'm just making an observation.
You know, you're ridiculous.
I know.
Bill, let me ask you this. Why isn't Gail Simmons on every episode of Top Chef?
I don't know. I don't know what she's doing that she isn't.
I want to see more of her.
Me too.
You're right.
I know I'm right. Good Lord. Thank you, Jill Valentine.
You were almost a
next
dribble.
DVD is Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray, nice. They made this is a book. It's not a movie.
Well, I think it's been multiple movies, and now this is just the latest version of it.
Is this one about his portrait?
I believe so.
Yes! Oh, she's
excited. He trades his soul for eternal youth, and his lust for pleasure grows.
Hmm.
It sounds really interesting. Thanks.
I think it looks almost kind of cartoonish.
Eh, probably.
Is it an
animated? It's got Colin Firth in it.
Nice. Hey, if Colin Firth's in it, sold. Right, Steven?
One of my favorites.
You love Top Chef.
Steven's a huge fan of the Bridget Jones movies.
Yes.
Sweet little me.
All right, moving on. One of my favorite movies is coming out on Blu-ray. I'm a little disappointed that it's not a Criterion edition, but oh well. It's Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren in The Long Good Friday. And I love me a mob movie, even if it's little old Bob Hoskins.
Now, Bill, I've never seen this film. Sell it to me.
Sell it to you. Okay. Bob Hoskins.
No, I mean, do you own
it?
I'll
boss.
Pay $5 for it.
And his wife is Helen Mirren. And they want to become bigger mob people. So they want to partner with the American mobsters. And they want to turn an area of London into a development for the Olympics. And their plan falls apart whenever there's a bunch of bombings. And then he realizes he's wanted by the IRA. And he's going crazy. Is that good enough?
Yeah. No? Well, no, I got confused over the Olympic thing. What?
I know. It's a little shady. They basically want to take over a development this area of London for the upcoming London Olympics to try to make money off of it.
Okay. Well, I love Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren, so I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah,
it's good. Trust me, I'm not good at explaining it, but it's good.
Is it a bit of, say...
A mystery box.
Absolutely.
Yeah!
Call that.
Huh?
Steve Buscemi don't like mystery boxes.
I guess not. Man.
And finally, well, not finally, because this isn't the last,
but... You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
After a long wait, we have lost the complete sixth season.
Nice.
On Blu-ray. Also, the complete collection, which comes with all kinds of cool little tchotchkes that I'm very jealous over.
Yeah, it's got all sorts of, like, cute, like, cute. Why did it say that? It's got a lot of sorts of neat little things in it. Like, doesn't it have, like, a map and all?
Yeah, it has a map and a picture booklet, and it's got an Ankh, and it's got the game that Jacob and Samuel, a.k.a. Smokey, play.
What is that called, that game?
I can't remember.
It's like an ancient form of backgammon, but it's called something.
Yeah.
Well, that's just poetry, brother.
But I already have seasons 1 through 5 on Blu-ray, so I'm kind of shit out of luck. I'm certainly not going to, you know, buy all of them again just to get that stuff.
Right, yeah. You can rent it, I guess. Netflix it. Netflix the bonus disc.
Netflix the bonuses.
Yeah.
I want that game. Nice. All right, next Blu-ray is Machine Gun McCain.
Wow, oh, nice.
Good old Peter Falk.
That sounds pretty sweet to me, Steven.
Love me some machine gun action.
Okay.
It's a fun movie from like the late 60s, early 70s. I saw it on Turner Classic Movies not long ago.
I actually saw that one as a kid. Well, come on. You're a little kid and you're looking at the TV guide. Machine gun,
yeah.
How are you not going to tune into that, you know? It's like, hell yeah, machine gun. That's an awesome
nickname. It has a Ennio Morricone score, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it does. I would have to look on IMDb to be sure, but I believe it does.
Sweet.
All right, and let's see here. The Simpsons, the 13th season.
Awesome.
I stopped collecting those around 4.
Steven, are you still getting those?
No.
I love the earlier two or three seasons. I'm guilty of not seeing recent seasons of The Simpsons.
Oh yeah, I haven't. I've stopped watching The Simpsons a long time ago.
I love the old ones though. I mean, that are.
I tune in now and again and see if it's still has some of the funness of the early.
Every once, like I think of maybe a Halloween. I don't know if it's last year or the year before. I thought it was pretty funny.
Access denied.
Yeah, they do those House of Horrors ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. The Square. Man, this guy's a square. This is a... let's see here. I think this is... I'm not sure what country this is from. But I know I've heard a lot about it and that it's good. And Harry Knowles says it's one of the best films of the year.
You're right.
What cracked me up, though, is I'm looking through the DVDs this week, and I see, okay, The Square. Oh, yeah, I heard about that on Twitch Film. I want to see that. One of the best films of the year, Harry Knowles. And then at the bottom in the corner, Certified Fresh by Rotten Tomatoes.
I wanted
when
to
you
like,
slap that shit on your cover, that's like begging people not to buy you.
I wanted to say something like, very angular, says the Jason on Noir Mulder.
Very angular.
How sweet was
this
that?
Movie isn't square.
Call that.
Oh.
I haven't seen the back of it. Maybe the back of it has some horrible... Oh, bummer, it doesn't. Just startling, exciting, and new. Don't miss it. Oh, that's boring.
Wait, it's a square. Is it like a box, maybe?
The mystery box.
Mystery cube.
Mystery cube.
A mystery box.
All right, and next DVD is George Romero's Survival of the Dead.
Ooh.
That's bullshit.
Hey.
Yeah, I heard this one's one hell of a stinker, but I'm still going to watch it.
What's funny is, like, a lot of when you read these, like, movie blogs and stuff, people go, the movie sucks, but it's got some awesome zombie kills in it. It's like, you got to save it. There's got some redeeming factors in it, and it's got some awesome zombie moments, but... My problem with George Romero, and a lot goes to even his older movies, is when he gets such shitty actors to be in his film. You would think by now, George Romero, the name, can you get some decent actors? I know there's some actors that are like want to work with him. Get some people who can act. And maybe, you know,
I like the one that he had The Mentalist in.
Oh yeah, in Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead.
Right.
I couldn't think of which one it was. Diary of the Dead was awful.
Yeah, that was the one with non-actors in it, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was all done with like a handheld camera like it was Cloverfield.
Some of the worst acting I've ever seen is in Day of the Dead, though. Just like...
That's true.
I'm not... But Bub was awesome.
Bub.
What?
And this one supposedly takes place off the coast of Delaware on Plum Island, where two families are locked in a struggle for power. All right. Well, there you go.
Wait, two families? So this is kind of
like... Yeah, the O'Flynns want to kill all zombies, and the Muldoons want to quarantine and keep them alive in hope of a solution.
No,
ridiculous.
What? Wait, where does this movie take place at?
Delaware.
Hi. I'm in Delaware.
Even the zombies in Delaware are boring.
Wait, man, there might be a cure, so let's herd up these zombies. Bad idea.
There might be a cure for death.
You know what I'd say? Good luck with that. Slam the door and lock it. Hey, let me in. No, go ahead with your plan.
Go hang with your zombie
buddies. I don't understand why there's a feud. Eventually, the zombies will kill them, so just let them do what they want to do.
Oh, my God!
God, that's an old one.
That guy needs to get in the Big Brother house with Reagan.
What is it exactly that you do?
I'm a doctor. What about you?
I kill zombies.
It's a high-paying job in George Romero's world.
Man, I want
Dude, dude, how cool would that be? Like, I just thought of a movie. These guys, like bounty hunters, whatever, they come over. They're like, who are you? What do you want? They're in their fortified bunker, and they're like, we kill zombies for a living. You pay us, you give us some food, we'll get rid of all of them, we'll clear them out around here. And these guys are just badass zombie killers going from town to town, ridding the world of zombies for food and swag and whatever. How cool would that
swag.
Be? Can you guys imagine that?
A little pirate treasure.
Sure, why not?
Sweet.
What?
No, come on. I'm pitching that to Billy on Entourage. Maybe he can help me out with it.
That was the best part of Entourage this week. With
You're
Billy
right.
pitching the Johnny Drama as an angry gorilla.
I love that he's just completely offended by the whole idea. It's like, we'll get the studio on board. Then he'll be interested. And I think, you know, they give it away on the previews. He's like, oh, what the hell? You know, hey, if the studio likes it. Hell, I know. We could probably, if that friggin' Seth dude or whatever, what's his name? Seth McFarlane?
Yeah, robot chicken asshole.
Maybe we...
No, Seth Green.
No, not Seth Green, Seth McFarlane.
Oh, Seth McFarlane? Well, hell, they're one and the same, really.
You're right.
Thanks, Jill.
That was too
next
close.
DVD, I even hate to mention it because the company that put it on DVD, this four kids hacked it to pieces, and that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles Forever.
Yeah, that was an awesome, it was like a mini movie on TV.
Yeah.
And basically what it was is like, remember the old Turtles? Was it the 80s or early 90s? It was the early
90s. That was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, they merge into the world with the modern day Turtles, who are kind of like badasses now. It's all like cool Japanimation looking. They're really cool looking. And so it's like this goofy cartoon version show up like they somehow cross dimensions. They're like, what? They look just like us. And they're like, what the? And even like only one of the modern day turtles talks like Cowabunga. And they're always like, shut up. And they're like, they all talk like you, Michael, Michelangelo. And they're all three team up with Michelangelo. They all love him and he loves them. But they're driving the other ones who are more serious, brooding kind of turtles now. And it all goes back to where every dimension has a group of Ninja Turtles, going all the way back to the original comic book versions. And it's really cool how they cross into different worlds and bad guys. I got like way into it because back in the day when
and
I
it
loved
uses the original
yeah, it
comic
has,
ones too,
it,
right?
It goes yeah, black and white animation looks just like the original comic book. Like even the drawings look like Eastman and Laird's. It's really badass. And when these turtles, like the 80s turtles and the modern day turtles, they see these guys, they're like, whoa, these guys are badass or whatever. They don't use that word because it's a kid's show, but they all talk like Wolverine, you know, they're all real serious and stuff. So it's really cool.
This thing has been plagued by production issues, and mainly because of that four kids. It was originally supposed to do like a one-night showing in the theaters, and that was canceled. And basically, I guess they're afraid to put money behind it for some reason.
It's fantastic. It sucks.
Yeah, and now they are, one, they cut some stuff out of it. I can't confirm what it was that they cut out. And also, they're releasing it in pan and scan on DVD when it was originally done in HD and broadcast in HD.
That sucks.
I know your secret.
Huh? Yeah, okay, it's 9 minutes of footage that was cut.
Why?
I don't know.
Bummer, but it's awesome. So, BitTorrent, everybody? Is that what we're saying
here? Yeah, I guess maybe the original airing of it.
Hey!
What?
All right, next is... okay. Time Bandits on Blu-ray...
Yeah.
Hey,
I love Time Bandits. Come on.
Come on. It's time traveling midgets.
And you're saying it's on
Blu-ray.
That is wicked cold, man.
Yeah. And it's got interviews with Terry Gilliam. I don't know
if
it's got any of the Criterion stuff on it. Most likely not, because I think it's a Blu-ray from Image, so it wouldn't have any of that really great stuff on it, but it's Blu-ray, and I'm sure it looks fantastic.
Oh, I bet, man. I can't wait to see that.
It's so crazy. I remember seeing it as a kid and thinking, what am I watching, and why is it so great?
It's like one of those movies as a kid you watch over and over and over again.
It's much too difficult for them.
And just like when all of a sudden Sean Connery comes into it and he's like so awesome, you know, he's fighting the Minotaur and he becomes real good friends with him and he's the king or whatever. And then it's like you almost get sad when he gets taken away and he should have stayed in that time. It would have been awesome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you see a movie so many times, you're like, now, if Kevin could have stayed with Sean Connery's character, the king, that would have been really cool. Too bad that you, like, second-guess the movie, you know? Like, if only this could happen.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I watched Time Bandits, and I watched Goonies a lot as a kid.
Never talk to me like that again.
I love that. And there were so many great actors in it, too. I mean, in addition to the Monty Python people, like, even I think Ian Holm was in it.
Right.
And
well, there's a lot of small people in there that are short.
Midgets.
Like a midget locksmith.
I don't know if they're
all right, and I have to bring this
midget
up.
Mac, if he was in Time Bandits, would have been awesome.
That would have been fantastic. Bushwick Bill.
Oh, do you remember? There's that one scene where the one guy, he gets killed, and it's so sad. He gets squished. What was his name? What were their name? The one kind of slow one. What was his name? Fidget?
Fidget.
Oh, little Fidget. Love those guys.
I got to bring this up, mainly because Asylum has outdone themselves again.
Stupid movies like this.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
Titanic 2.
Shove it up your ass!
On the 100th anniversary of the original voyage, a modern new luxury liner, Titanic 2, follows the same path of its namesake. What could possibly go wrong?
No!
That just seems like a bad idea, doesn't it?
I implore you all to go on YouTube and look at the trailer. It's just so shockingly awful.
There must be a fucking dream. There's a fucking dwarf in it.
Wait, what? There's a dwarf in Titanic too?
That guy was stuck in Time Bandits.
You're
dreaming
right.
of dwarves. But yeah, Titanic 2. Terrific. Thank you, Asylum.
Does James Cameron have anything to do with it?
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, it's his buddy, though. His
buddy. Jonathan Mostow? Or
yeah, Jonathan Mostow, that would be great. Or Mick G. You know, they just follow in the footsteps.
Who was that guy that directed? Was that Jonathan Mostow?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Shame on you.
Yeah, you did.
Make the damn thing. You did Terminator 3. Oof. We also did U571 and the fantastic Breakdown with Kurt Russell.
I remember seeing Breakdown in the theater and hating every minute of it.
That's so sick.
I remember my friend Tim and I were out in the lobby going, man, that was awful. Some guy walks past us that was in the theater and goes, that was awesome. You know, we just kind of looked at him like he was insane. He goes, hey, when you grow up and you have a wife and kids and you care about them, you do anything to save them. I loved it.
Just like Kurt Russell.
Just like, yeah, I was like, well, good for you, buddy. It sucked.
We saw that in the theater, too. Breakdown, yep. Where they take Kathleen Quinlan, his wife.
Isn't there showdown on, like, a tanker, on, like, a bridge?
They have a freeway chase at the end. It's badass. Yeah. Yeah. I remember just being stressed out throughout the movie or something. I thought it was cool, though. This is back before HDTVs or whatever. Remember, they go to what's that actor's name? The bad guy. He was a great actor. He's dead now.
J.T. Walsh.
J.T. Walsh. He's a fantastic actor. They're there at the farm, and the little kid that is his son has a giant screen TV playing Doom in his bedroom. And I was like, awesome!
That kid rocks.
Yeah.
You're right.
Thank you, Jill.
Jill's very agreeable, isn't she?
She is.
You were almost a jiggle sandwich.
I always thought he said jiggle sandwich for the longest time. It's like, what the hell's a jiggle sandwich?
Yeah.
All right. Last Blu-ray and DVD. This is considered a cult classic. I've seen it in, I don't know, I guess maybe I'm just not the audience. With Nail and I, with Richard Grant and Paul McCann, where they're like absolute losers, drug addicts that go out to the countryside, and what? they're gigantic buffoons.
I've never even heard of this at all.
You've never heard of With Nail and I, really?
No. Yeah.
I don't know how I came across it. Probably from my general anglophilia that I suffer from.
Oh my
but
goodness.
It's, yeah, I know, it's bad. I gotta put ointment on it every night. But it's just this really dark, dark comedy based in, like, I think it's either the late 60s or early 70s. And these two are just really gigantic losers, so they decide to go out to the country to this guy's Uncle Monty's cabin, and he's, like, this really flamboyantly gay guy. It's funny. There are some really funny moments, and there's some great moments, but it's also really depressing at times.
What did Joe Bastianich think of it?
I think it looks almost kind of cartoonish.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
You should rent it.
Put it on your Netflix queue. I'd love to know what you thought of it.
Is it on Netflix streaming?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But I'd love to know what you think of it, because I know a lot of British comedy that we love or British comedians that we love have been influenced greatly by it.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out.
That's gonna be sweet.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm sure there are moments in it where after you see it, you'll go, oh, so that's where that came from.
Give me a Scooby snack.
Will I be like that, Bill?
Yes. You will immediately crave dog biscuits.
You're right.
Thanks, Jill.
Jill.
She knows everything.
Let me just get this straight.
And that's DVDs for this week.
Awesome. All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week, huh?
You're welcome.
Say thank you, Steven. Thanks, you should be Bill. Appreciative. All right, there you go.
Now time for the weather. Tiffany?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Knock, knock. Nobody's home. Empty.
Call that.
Jesus.
All right, everybody. That was episode 211 of No More Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in this evening, this fine evening. Isn't it nice, Stephen?
It is very nice.
We'd like you to go to nowheremulberry.com, and you can find a link to our forum. Hey, we've got over 30 people in our forum. We're going to see some more activity in that. I'm going to, you know, find extra time. And I've even been thinking about different things I want to do on the forum, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is continue to build the archive. I've got the lunchtime show on there. I want to add the after the shows. I want to add all the little specials we've done and basically have one little section that's the archive that people can get all of our episodes. But you can only get them. See, it isn't even created yet. I'm doing this kind of early, but you need to join the forum in order to access is the way I'm going to do it. So you want
sounds old, like a plan.
You want old Nim? Join the forum. So, Steven, you're going to have to sign up. Just kidding. I know. Hey, whoa.
Easy.
Just seeing if you're paying attention. Steven can be a little paranoid sometimes.
You're right.
Jill, just kidding.
Oh, dude.
That Jill can read me like a book.
She reads us all.
Now, guys, you could also call 1-206-202-3491 and leave us a voicemail. You could also go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email. And you can follow us on Twitter. There's links on the page. And join our Facebook fan club, Nowhere Mulberry Fan Club. And, Steven, I kind of sent you a link. I probably didn't know what I was talking about, but Bill and I were on this thing called Miso.
Miso horny.
M-I-S-O. It's a new thing where, like, you watch a movie or a TV show, you log it in there, it goes on your Twitter or Facebook if you want, and you get points and you get badges for whatever you watch. And you can do a little smart-ass comment for everything you watch, which I try to do, Bill. You know?
Yeah, I always try to also.
It's just kind of cool. And, like, we've got Sean following us on there, and he's doing it too, and I'm following him. And Mike from Chinstroker versus Punta. He's on there, right?
It's honestly kind of fun to mess around with because there's a lot of people on it, and it's easier than going, I'm watching so-and-so.
Right.
Or you can just, you know, kind of put it in, and then
and it's
it
also,
kind of turns it into a game, like a social networking game. You earn badges. And
yeah, and it's got an app on the iPhone, iPod, and it's also got an app on Android, so you could do it on your phone.
I think Sean's on there, too.
Yeah, so like every time I was watching Far Cry, the Uwe Boll movie.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, dude, I got to miso this. I got to tell everybody that I'm watching this. They've got to know.
You're there right.
There was something about Uwe Boll on TV today that I saw. I can't. Damn it. I can't remember what it was now.
And do you guys want to know what's really bad about Far Cry? I mean, his movies can be so humorless. It's painful, you know?
Yeah.
This movie, they're trying to be... I can see he's like, let's do it a little light. We're going to crack jokes in the movie. And it'll be really great. It's got Till Schweiger. And I repeated this throughout the entire movie, I would just say it out loud, Til Schweiger. Just
say it. I love any name that the W is pronounced as a V.
Uwe Boll.
Definitely Uwe Boll. It's like that, right?
It's on.
Okay.
But there's a... Okay, Til Schweiger has a sidekick guy.
Schweiger?
Who cracks jokes through the whole movie, and he's supposed to be the comic relief, but really...
So he's the Rob Schneider.
You want him to die because he's so unfunny. He's really, really bad.
I was telling Jordan McGrath on 35mm Heroes this week about Judge Dredd and how they're going to be doing another one, and he had never seen it, and I told him that Rob Schneider was in it, and he was like, oh, great, now I don't want to see it.
In a very insulting way for me.
It's just like, okay, Judge Dredd, Sylvester Stallone, okay, maybe, but... Hey, we're going to have some comic relief over here. We got the Rob Schneider. Hey, Judge Dredd.
Let's put the copy guy in the movie.
And also, okay, this is my main problem with the movie. At the very beginning of the movie, James Remar plays a thug in the movie, and he's killed. Then they have Armand Asante. Why isn't James Remar the heavy in the movie? He would have been awesome, but you got... Armand Asante in there? I think that's who's in there.
And man, was he bad in that.
He was. He's like supposed to be like, very flamboyant kind of genetic twin.
The exact opposite of Judge Dredd.
Yeah. And instead, it's just like, oh.
And poor Max von Sydow gets sent out to the desert.
Yeah, with a shotgun. Wow.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know.
And one small moment is when they bring what's that guy's name with the metal head and he headbutts people? I forget his name in the comic, but
Juggernaut?
There's a small moment where he's in the movie and it was kind of fun, and that all goes away.
Yeah.
Wow.
But on so there's you.
That movie. I know I've seen it.
You should.
Noel Mellors on Miso.
Oh, I need
Chip Stroker.
I need to find Noel on there.
Yep, I think he's under Film Rant. Jordan McGrath's on there. Eat Sleep Jordan.
Dude.
A show I just started listening to recently, this Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema. It's a podcast where they cover like ridiculous, basically B-grade movies, and it's terrific.
Oh, shit.
And that guy's on there. The Samurai. And Zell, I see Zell's on there.
Sweet, yeah. We got,
there's a bunch of people on there.
Hey,
so
you guys find me, because I didn't know you guys were on there. So everyone check out Miso!
Oh, Miso horny, me love you long time!
Okay. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week, right?
We will.
All right,
see
later.
You later!
Woo!
You better get the f*** out of here, we're going to kick your ass!
I'm out, I'm going.
Mystery Box.
Now this is podcasting.
You love Top Chef.
Sweet little me.
You adore Gail Simmons.
I'm thrilled.
I know your secret.
You two are bumping butts over there.
Oh, Barry.
That's gonna be sweet.
Oh, dude.